Yep.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
They do.
Everybody loves us long time.
Big time, long time.
Buzz, go to Don and Mike website .com, please.
I'm there.
Okay. Let's see. Exciting news. Mm-hmm. Share the joy of viewing the Morris Jones classic movie, Christmas Miracle.
That's right.
Go to the links page.
Right.
It's movie time.
Under friends, yes.
Watch the holiday classic Christmas music with Morris Jones.
Yeah.
Please click on that link.
All right.
You have sound over there?
I do. Here it comes.
It's the Morris Jones movie.
The Christmas Miracle.
The thing that he made and he sent us. Buzz?
Yeah, here it is now. How do you like it?
Speed. I just see the real player, the logo.
Yeah, I even played it through several times just to make sure it would be cached. Oh, well, here it is now.
Here it is. Morris Jones proudly presents his appearance on the Don and Mike Show. Remember when we described this with the cheesy graphics? Now you can go to our website and see it.
Here I am. I'm coming in. This is the Christmas Miracle, and the camera's rolling.
Oh, he's rolling camera.
Hey! Hi, all! It's Morris Jones with the Mojo Cam. Long time no see.
The guy brought his own camera in here.
Buzz Burbank.
He's taking pictures. This is
real video here. Rob Spivak.
Hi there. That's too tiny.
Wow. Okay, now it's recording.
And here's where you're on the camera, Mike.
Hi, everybody in Washington.
Look over at Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
It's me again.
Okay, Mike, and then taking video of Morris Jones.
Yeah, and you, and you and Rob.
Rob.
Oh, dear.
Don, you're bad.
Can't put that on TV now.
Oh, that is a graphic. First, there's the picture, the still picture he took of us.
Yeah, very interesting.
And then he zooms in, and then it says, Morris Jones of the Don and Mike Show, The Christmas Miracle, December 17th, 2004, has been a Mojo Cam production. I mean, I don't think
it's surreal.
I don't think we did it justice when we described it on the air.
No, don't wait till Christmas to see this.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
This is
yourself.
Good any time of year.
Yeah. And also right on the front page of DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Our first video.
Click out the De-Evolution of Rob.
Yes.
And done that.
Also now Aunt Fez is up.
Yes, with the shaving of Fez and the growing of Rob.
Meanwhile, Fez becomes a little less hairy, so you can see Aunt Fez dressed as Teddy Roosevelt.
Very exciting.
My favorite part is Fez next to Chester A. Arthur.
Yes. Startling
similarity.
But that Morris Jones movie, that's too great. He is absolutely Anchorman.
He is.
He is that guy. And
very delighted to be here in the studio.
He came with his own camera, made that movie, sent it to us.
Very cutting-edge technology with that tiny little camera that he had.
Yeah, just a wee little thing, and he had all of the... there are the pictures of Fez.
Yes. And Chester A. Arthur.
That's pretty. That's good. But the Morris, with no offense to Aunt Fez.
Right.
The big draw today on the website, or the continuing pictures of the de-evolution of Rob.
Yes, right.
The big draw of the website today will be our first ever actual real-time movie download.
And on your way out, after you've seen a good movie and taken a look at some good pictures, why don't you stop by the store? For a souvenir.
What store is that, Mike?
That's the Don and Mike store. It's a wonderful souvenir opportunity for you and your family.
Well,
and I just recommend it highly.
I'm surprised you even mentioned it.
It's, great prices consistent with quality.
That's right.
I know one guy who likes the store.
Who's that?
Gary Bettman.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. And unfortunately, we've had to cancel the season. Due to the fact that they were not able to come down the place.
That's right.
Close to our offer. And it is final. After today at 1 o'clock, it's marked final. The season is canceled.
And how was the NHL letter signed?
Gary Bettman, commissioner. I think Gary B. Bettman.
Uh-huh.
Gary B. Bettman, commissioner. Of the NHL.
GBB.
I'm very disappointed. We tried to make it work, but unfortunately they weren't able to meet us the right way.
No.
I was trying to tell Mike a couple of seconds ago, it's funny. That's a funny bit, but who cares that the NHL was canceled? But
Canadians.
But you're goddamn right about this guy.
Our listeners in Canada, I should just say, if this offer that I sent last night is acceptable, please let me know by 11 a.m. today.
Uh-huh.
In advance of my scheduled press conference.
Yeah.
Hopefully, the press conference will not be necessary. Sincerely, Gary B. Bettman, Commissioner. I'm sorry, the season has been canceled.
Commissioner of a dead sport.
That's true. So this is the death of the NHL. There we are. Very sorry.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
I know, as you do, that the deal we can make will only get worse for the players if we cancel the season.
Will there be a wake?
Whatever damage we've suffered to date will pale in comparison to the damage from a canceled season.
He's just going to have to cut right to the very sincerely.
Sincerely. Gary B. Bettman, Commissioner of the NHL. Goodbye, season.
Goodbye, Gary.
Well, see you later. My apologies to everyone.
I know you care desperately, Mike. So
I
know you do. You like hockey.
Well, you know, it's a fresh news story. It just got canceled, and right. It was just, you know, anytime these guys
we had to do it. Listen, we made the offer the players wanted. How many of the points? Didn't we give up on the salary cap?
We basically they caved, but it ended up being about $6 million per team. Per team.
Wow.
Apart.
That's a lot.
So bye-bye, NHL. So play in your Europe. Go over there and play in your foreign countries.
And if you think about it, I mean, maybe other people would think differently. If it really is only down to $6 million per team, how many are there before you bite my head off?
How many?
How many? Half a dozen?
Oh, a dozen.
Half a dozen?
It's 200 million a season.
A baker's dozen? It's plenty. How many teams?
Well, we could get into that, but I just want to offer...
Why is there a team in Columbus, Ohio? You know,
perhaps that's when the league started going south.
That's all they have.
I'm so sorry we won't be able to see San Jose against Vancouver.
I love that they have the team in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa.
The big champions.
Yes. So many old people down in Florida now will not have this because of you, Gary B. Bettman.
Bettman. Sincerely.
Sincerely.
Gary B. Bettman.
He's the Bettman.
Commissioner.
He's the Bettman, and you're the Bettman.
Commissioner. I'm the commissioner.
National Hockey League. Attention, Canada. This is Gary Bettman.
Gary Bettman. Gary B. Bettman.
Whatever. Hey, Canada, your life, it's over.
There you are.
$6 million per team.
Might I suggest, if you're interested in enjoying hockey, mm-hmm. buy a ticket on an airplane and travel over to Europe and enjoy where the NHL players are.
Might I suggest that you take a hockey stick, break a half off, and shove it. That's what I say. I'm not Gary B.
Gary B. Bettman.
Bettman. Gary B. Bettman.
So long, players.
All right, Mike, today with the Groaners.
Yes.
Oh, listen to this. We are not going to be playing
All or Nothing.
We're not?
No. The game we're going to be playing today? Oh, it's not?
Playing the percentages. No,
we're not playing no, it's percentages. And it's not?
The Intruder.
No, it's not. See, but actually, it is All or Nothing. It's just the new name is
Solidarity.
Solidarity. Also known as
All or Nothing.
Which is now known as
Solidarity.
So Rob or the service wrote all of them today?
That is, yes, you are correct, sir. Thank you.
Very
Solidarity.
Good.
Solidarity.
Solid as a rock. Now,
let's see what happens.
When I had the opportunity to play this fantastic brand new game,
Solidarity,
before the show, I was a big winner on it.
Oh, congratulations. Oh,
very good. I played the home version now. Here you go, fellas.
All right.
Three of them today. What dictator always has an upset stomach?
Which one?
Fidel Castro.
Solidarity.
Wow. What can you find in a Cuban stadium?
What?
Castro turf.
Very good.
Solidarity.
Where do you buy Cuban sandwiches?
Where?
The Fidelicatessen.
Solidarity.
That's how we vote. Now I need a hey now, please.
Hey now.
Oh, we're sorry.
We are sorry.
There we go. Oh, hold on a second. And thank you. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Thomas.
Solidarity.
Buzz Burbank here.
Now, look what you've done.
My head is spinning.
Look at that. You've embarrassed me in front of everybody now.
Solidarity.
Now they know there's a cheat end on that. And every day they thought I was tight as a nun.
If we'd kept it all or nothing.
Now they know that every day, hey, when the song is running out, I'll just go... do that, and they say, and the Buzz says,
hi, Dynamite, Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Right.
Solidarity.
Okay.
Hey, now. We're ready.
Here we go. In here.
The Dynamite Show.
Please. Everybody here. Percentages.
I'm getting dizzy.
So again, the game is
solidarity.
And your grunters are Gastro, Fidel Gastro, Gastro Turf, and the Fidelica contestant. We'll start with Buzz first today.
I'm saying it's all the service today.
All the service and
solidarity.
Mike.
I'm going to agree with Buzz. I think it's all the service.
Fellas? One. Two. Losers.
Wrong.
All from Rob Speedball.
Wow, Rob.
I predicted a split board today when we played.
When we played before the show.
He's intentionally writing bad ones now.
I think he is.
That's how he tricks us.
We've been robbed. Hello, everybody.
Solidarity.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to solve the
true story. He was a man of a man of faith. His soul, one heart, and your discretion advised.
Solidarity.
I like Fidelica Tessa.
Yeah, I like that.
Solidarity.
That was the curveball. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. This is a funny place. And all the ships at sea. They're even bigger than Helen Reddy in her heyday. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Julia, hi, John Kerry.
Hi there.
Hi there, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Everybody, Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Wednesday. 02-1605.
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
There you go, let's get retarded. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Wednesday. It's February 16th.
You're kidding me.
2005. No? Mm-hmm. Here's the phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico. 800-636-1067 in D.C. 202-432-1067.
There they all are.
Mm-hmm. First, all is cool at home.
Good.
I'll just let you know that. First,
good.
All is cool at home.
That's good.
The tanning bed arrived.
Oh, well. your wife emailed a lovely picture of that to me. A picture of your tanning bed. It looks like a nice one.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah. She sent me an email of the tanning bed.
That was nice.
It was nice. No, it looks
I'm
like...
I'm going to tell her to stop sending you emails.
It looks like a nice... why? I appreciated it. It was nice.
Oh, did
nice.
You really?
Yeah. Well, I remember...
It wasn't spam or junk?
No, I was very supportive of the tanning bed. And, yes. It was an email with an invite to come over and sun whenever I felt like it. So I was very, very flattered.
So when are you coming over this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be over Saturday morning, bright and early.
So anyway, all is well at home. I would like to take a second out, and it literally mean a second. Get well, Big Frida, who surprised us all with a trip to the hospital today.
Oh, no.
But she's doing much better. And anyway, much love to Big Frida.
She's going
to
be okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Of course she's going to be okay.
All right, great.
She is eternal. Now, Mike, I've got something. This arrived. Beth Ann, of course, opens our mail, tastes our food, does everything for us.
Samples everything.
This came addressed Don and Mike Show, but as you can see, your name is circled.
It's circled in a very weird way.
Mm-hmm. So we open it up, and it's a homemade card. If I might read it to you. It's rather Hinckley-like.
Yes.
It's, we can probably copy this and put this on the web page as well.
You should.
It's got sparkles on it.
Get that right out to the authorities.
It says, me love you a lot.
Right.
Signed, your number one fan.
Hmm.
The Finger Guy.
I knew it.
Oh.
Fat Albert, Nambla, Rod Grippy, Bill O'Reilly, Japanese, Germans, Kid Touchers, Jim Nance, Adrian Zemed, Canadians, Dennis Murphy, Jerry Van Dyke, Cheryl the Big Dyke, Homo Joe, everybody in the WWE Raw and SmackDown, Pope John Paul II, and God.
That's the card from them, allegedly?
Yeah. But
you can have that. I'm not going to put my hands on it.
I think it's mainly from your Finger Guy, Mike.
Yeah, well, if you can understand, I don't really care to touch it.
And look, he took the time. It's got, like, sparkles on it, and I believe
there's an X and an O there.
I believe that they're held on the page with glue, although under further examination, and I probably shouldn't be touching this
myself. It certainly appears to be glue. I would hope to God that it's glue.
It could be, but it could be something else that's adhesive in nature.
You know, two different kinds of markers, sparkles, pen.
Yeah.
It's very disjointed.
That's really nice.
Well, can you get that right over to William Peterson for the analysis, please?
Send that over to him.
Put that under the Put that under the black light.
Oh, but now I feel all festive because there's all these sparkly things all over the console.
Glitter everywhere. Just put them on your cheeks, you know, so you have that face glitter.
Yeah, right.
Just ducky.
Then you'd be laughing when I had cheek aids.
Your fingers have already been on that.
I promise we wouldn't laugh.
I would suggest a trip to the lavatory during the commercial break to decontaminate your hands.
You think I got the finger aids now?
You know, they've got that fast-moving strain they're talking about.
I know we talked yesterday about what a jerk Joe Gibbs is. The coach of the Redskins. Mm-hmm. Who's not. Yeah, you know, okay, that's a joke. Funny joke. That Joe Gibbs is not a jerk.
That was your running joke.
He was on our station yesterday on WJFK, our home station here in D.C.
It was delightful to listen to that technical masterpiece.
Yes. That's what I wanted to point out. This is why these guys at this station, they are absolutely the worst broadcasters in the history of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
They get the coach of the Redskins who's pissed at another station.
Right.
Right.
He wants to come on this station. He wants to take phone calls.
He specifically wants to address fans directly. So the phone calls are really the backbone
and
of the whole
great
thing.
Opportunity.
He's mad at the other station because the other station has said that he's a jerk. You know, not as eloquently as me, but they've said he's a jerk, so he's pissed. And how often does Joe Gibbs get pissed? So they, or at least where we know about it.
Right.
So they send Larry Michael, the new voice of the Redskins, out to Redskins Park. And I don't know how long this went on. I turned it on in my car, and for 20 minutes, this is what I heard. First, it's poor Larry, who has got, I'm just imagining Albert Brooks in broadcast news.
Did you hear Cameron during the commercial break? I didn't get a chance to hear that.
I missed that.
Hold this on. Is Redskins Park. Hello? Hello?
You mean during the spot?
Oh, yes.
On the air?
Huh. Oh, yes.
Because see, here's what I, no, see, I turned it off with the commercials, but.
Heard it in my car.
Here's what I heard. Oh, Coach. Uh-oh. It's really great to be here with you. My 11-year-old asked if he could be playing for you. Coach, let's take some calls. I know you want to talk to the fans. Yes, I do. I look forward to setting the record straight. Let's go to Chris. Hello, Chris. Hello? Yes, Chris, you're on to the coach. All right, let's go to, let's go to Becky on line 5. Becky, you're on with Coach Gibbs.
I'm here, Becky.
Okay, that's it's Fred on line 3. Fred, and by this time, Larry is just, I imagine that he can taste his underpants. I mean, this is the situation that he's in. And he says, all right, Coach, while we work on these technical problems, I guess I'll have to ask you some of the questions. Free agency, let's talk free agency. Hold on, I've been told the lines are up. Let's go to Michael on line 1, a coach for a question for the coach on line 1. Michael. Hello. Hello, Michael, are you there? Michael, can you hear us? You're on exclusively with Coach Gibbs.
And then Larry getting progressively more and more angry.
And man,
let's go to Frank. Let's go to Frank on line 5. Is Frank there? On line 5.
And they do 20 minutes.
Yes.
They do 20 minutes. 20 fantastic minutes with the coach of the Redskins. And it ends up Larry tap dancing for him the entire time. Now, Mike, You got me there. I didn't hear what happened during the spots.
Just
what happened during
mic
commercials?
Check, little mic check with the mic turned up.
Yeah.
And
the microphones were.
The microphones were on.
That was actually, believe it or not, my fault.
Oh, really?
I will take the bullet on that. Not anything. What happened is the Redskins Park comes up.
Solidarity.
Same fader as the newsroom.
Rob, you're awful nice to take the bullet on that. You can
but
be nice
true.
And quiet back there.
No,
that's
but
a
it's true.
I don't believe you, Rob.
Well, believe what you will.
I know you're a saint.
But, you know,
many think you're a sinner. I think you're a saint.
Thank
and
you.
And I think you're just, as always, covering for a pal.
That's right.
Covering for a buddy.
That's
right.
Thank goodness.
That little faux pas was not nearly as fun, though, as the slow burn from Larry Michael as he was getting more angry.
Can you do that?
How about number line five?
And then Larry would say the name.
Let's go to Bob. Bob.
Then you hear Gibbs. Hello, Bob.
Are you there, Bob? Bob's not there.
It's a little like Napoleon Dynamite.
How about God?
We're a talk station. We do talk shows.
We want to take a call.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Nobody and does them better.
It was embarrassing.
And here's the thing. God bless them. They hoard it out, and I mean this, like a bitch. They hoard this thing out.
You had sponsors sponsoring sponsors.
You should have seen the program log.
They threw that together quick.
Last night at 7. Rob, will you give me the regular log here? So people can
they
know
went nuts.
What I'm talking about.
They went bananas.
Like with our commercials. Our commercials. And we run a lot of commercials.
They
that's
got
how
that
makes
right.
money. So normally, you get a nice little thing like this. It's computerized, program log.
Uh-huh.
Says in the next stop set, we have commercials coming up for, you know, Comcast, OnStar, ABC TV, Washington Post, Tweeter Entertainment, Verizon, all this stuff. Well, and it's all nice and computerized.
Yeah.
So last night, they showed me the log for the 7 o'clock hour during the Joe Gibbs show.
Uh-huh.
It was written, handwritten,
like an hour beforehand,
by more than one person
uh-huh.
who had scratched out stuff
sure.
and written other stuff in. The numbers for the corresponding commercials could not be read. Now, what was happening behind the scenes was when they would go to commercial break
right.
while they were trying to figure out what was wrong with the telephones and the microphones,
uh-huh.
back here, the people at the studios were saying, listen, the log is written by hand. What number is ABC Television?
Yeah, right. they scratched it in there without putting the proper number in there.
And they didn't go on the computer system that they've been working on.
No.
They went back to good old human intelligence on this one.
And when you got about a wall of about a million commercials on tape, that can cause some problems.
And I mean, they hoard it like a bitch. They normally run 18 minutes of commercials.
Let's go to Debbie on line 4. Debbie, are you there? Debbie's not there.
The unofficial number that I heard was 24 minutes of commercials sold for 1 hour of radio time.
Yeah.
No surprise.
Almost half.
They went into a little
frenzy. I mean, I know it sounds that way to you guys that listen anyway. You think that way anyway, but no. And listen, that's something we don't have any say on it, like how many
right.
commercials. Here's the deal. We got to run 18 minutes an hour. Why lie to you about that?
Mm-hmm.
We have to. Most stations do. Most talk stations do. You can do it one of two ways.
TV stations do the same thing.
Yeah, right. You can, you know, play them all at once. Well, Stern does that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do it the way we can do it. You know, you do 2 an hour, you do 3 an hour, the way I think Ron Fez do it, but 24 commercials
mm-hmm.
in an hour, and here are the problems. Here are the problems. They've finally got something high profile happening,
yes.
positive for the station. The equipment doesn't work.
Right.
The calls don't get on the air.
Right.
It sounds like garbage. Mike's even hearing technical stuff on the air. And the commercials that they hoard like a bitch. If I was a client, I would call
mm-hmm.
and I would ask if my commercial ran.
Right.
Because, seriously, people were writing with their feet on the log.
It's in the excitement of having the high profile.
Yes.
Kind of last minute addition to the programming
yeah.
lineup. They kind of went berserk, you know, and we have
like a Chinese fire drill.
You know, the Redskins are very important to the revenue of this state.
This was a real opportunity to have the show.
But he wanted to talk to the callers. Let's go to line 7 and Aaron.
Didn't have the buttons worked out.
Here's what I don't know. I go like nobody hips Larry after, and I'm not exaggerating when I say it was 20 minutes, because it was my entire drive home. I'm listening to this. How come nobody hips Larry like after 5 minutes? Hey, man. The phones are broken. Take a
right.
break now.
Mm-hmm.
God knows you got the commercials. take the break, and we'll fix it. But they leave Larry, who's the host,
right.
They leave him out there on that island by himself. And trust me, when he's looking out there at the people at Redskins Park who are supposed to help him in these situations, they're not going to help him.
See of blank faces.
Nobody.
I guess I'm on my own.
Coach. Well, when he says, I know Larry. Larry's his filling, and he says, my son asked me before I left the house today if he could try out for the team. Do you think you'll still be the coach when he's old enough to play Coach Gibbs?
10 years from now, you going to be here, Coach?
Let me set the record straight. And Gibbs, bless his heart, that jerk, Joe Gibbs, he wanted to talk to these idiotic fans. That's part of the charm of Gibbs is that when the first caller that I heard did get through before the phones did whatever they did.
Right, first caller got through.
And, you know, Gibbs liked that game of, like, calling someone by their name.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was a dumb question that he really wanted to answer,
right.
It was like, well, Chris, that's an excellent question you brought up, Chris. I'm glad.
Was that the drove a stake through my heart?
Yeah.
You drove a stake through my heart.
Well, Chris, I'm going to tell you that. Now, Chris, you know, in the Redskins, we're family. Chris, and what would happen is...
You actually drove a stake through my heart, too.
As they would go from caller to caller that wasn't there, Larry would be screaming, let's go to line 5 and Frank. And then Coach Gibbs would always say very happily, Frank?
Hopefully.
It'd be nothing.
Please don't drive a stake through my heart. I live out here at Redskins Park. Hanging from the rafters. That's right, I am Vampire. I am Dracul.
God. What a moment of radio history.
The creatures of the night, what beautiful music they make.
And then somehow in the Washington Post today, did you see in the sports section?
No.
It gets a write-up. Like it was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
They're right. Coach Gibbs answered questions on WJFK in a freewheeling hour.
It was different than anything he'd ever done. When you cut through all the garbage, it was a unique event, but it just took a little while to get on track.
Yes.
Just a little while.
20 minutes, I listen.
Let's go to line 4.
Not one caller is on there, and Larry's going, everything going, Coach, while we're waiting for the phones, free agency, Coach. Free agency,
I have
March
a question
2nd.
I'd like to ask. Where, Coach, now I'm being told we're going to go back to line 5. Here's Scott on line 5.
Hello, Scott.
Scott's not...
Hello, Scott.
I don't know.
This is Coach Gibbs. Hello, Scott. This is Coach Gibbs.
It's the big time.
No. Damn it. Hello, caller.
It's Coach Gibbs.
Caller, you're on with the coach. I'm sorry,
Larry,
Coach.
Larry, this sucks.
I know it does.
Larry, this sucks. I'm a Christian. I can't say that. But Larry, this sucks the Lord's ass.
I'm very, very frustrated, Coach.
Larry.
And I'm angry.
Larry, I'm not known as
it's
a jerk.
It's Don and Mike's fault.
I'm not known as a jerk. But I want to say, this is unprofessional, you ass.
I'm sorry, Coach. There's nothing I can really do. I'll give you a case of Sylvania light bulbs. I do.
So now I'm wondering today, are they walking around here and, like, pat themselves on the back?
Well, I'm sure
like
they are.
Like, with the job well done?
Is the check's clear?
Yeah.
That's
right.
All it's about. That's all really it's about.
Reviews are good.
Yes.
You know?
Put it into the bank.
Customers enjoyed the meal, even if they didn't see how it was made.
It was pretty good. Hold on. Before we talk to Beth Ann McBride about something relatively important, this is certainly not more important, but I'll say it anyway. American Idol?
Yep.
Didn't watch it.
You didn't.
Wow.
You know what? My hat is off to you. You missed the suckiest, teasingest, crap-laden American
now,
Idol.
Tonight
I'd say it's so bad, they almost lost me for good.
Tonight is the one that I want to watch, right? Are they going to announce the 24 finalists tonight?
I don't know. Are they?
Yes.
It was so much hype and so much teasing. And not only were they teasing the contestants, they were teasing the audience. And you know what they don't need to do with all those people out there and all that videotape? You don't need to replay video that we've already seen on the same show.
Sure you do. When you Mike, learn the lesson from WJFK. When you're whoring that bitch out.
Right.
When you're whoring that American Idol bitch out, you got to throw an extra night out there.
Well, you know, I'm not talking about, like, if they repeat it. I'm talking about rolling videotape that was
that
on during the same
show. That we've already seen before at the presenting of his first run material when they've already run it.
Jesus, I don't need to see that again.
And they do it in black and white, so you know.
Yeah, well, I'm like, we're so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, Rob, you watched it, right?
Some of it. I bailed.
If you watch, anybody who watches this, everybody knew which rooms were going.
Of course.
And which rooms were staying. It wasn't anything fake.
Now, the thing is about last night, it is the weakest episode of the whole season.
Oh, because, it sure looked like it.
But if they do what they've said they're going to do, which is tonight reveal the 24 finalists.
That's what I read.
12 and 12. Then tonight will be a good show, and then it begins to intensify.
Here's the deal. I am ready, as you said last week, and I am ready for it now. I'm ready for performing. I want to see sing a song in its entirety.
Let's see who's got what.
I'm ready for the Subway commercials.
You know, we were watching last night. And I turned on American Idol, and I realized it was just more of the crap with the room.
So much time.
Right. I said, some Law and Order was on, but it was the one with the Private Pyle.
Now, D'Onofrio.
Okay. I've not enjoyed a Law and Order since I've come to the realization that he's Private Pyle.
Private Pyle.
It's like, it's been years, and I know the guy's
name. You watch him now, and every time you watch him, you're just going to go jelly donut in the footlocker.
That's, I'm watching it last night. It was a good one. It was the one with Mr. Big from Sex and the City coming back.
Once you appreciate his quirky weirdness, you like him more.
Is it? Was it a rerun, or did they do 2 hours of Law and Order last night?
I have no idea.
Let me ask you, on Law and Order, did they let Vincent D'Onofrio, D'Onofrio? Do they let him, like, stretch his chops being kind of weird like he was in some of his movies?
No,
does he ever, like, wig out on a client or something?
No, he's very Columbo-ish. He's, doing an impression of Columbo in this thing.
He appears to be very concerned in a quirky way, but nothing beyond
that. I just think he's a great actor.
But he's Private Pyle. I mean, I could not tear myself away from it last night.
Vincent D'Onofrio was one of the very first, it's become almost routine in Hollywood now, but he was one of the early actors that would have unbelievably dramatic weight fluctuations to play different roles. You know, when he gained all the weight for Private Pyle, and he came back in the
I've done
movie.
That.
Excuse me, both of you guys, hold on. This is now like the Gibbs Show. I see what's going on here.
Yes.
I realize that we're broadcasting.
Right.
And I find it odd. We've been on the air 30 minutes.
Yes.
And none of the phones are ringing.
Really?
Yeah. Now, we normally at least get wrong number calls.
Let's go to Chris on line 5.
I just tried to punch up one of the lines and see.
Yeah, now that nothing's happening, Chris.
You get nothing.
So do you think maybe they were overloaded last night when the coach was on? Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know.
Let's try line number 1.
See, because actually this is the first live broadcast on this. Well, no, hold on.
Oh, no.
Hold on, the junkies were on today.
That's right.
The junkies were on, so maybe.
Something is definitely wrong with the
phone. It's the system malfunctioning.
Well, with the delay, I'm not sure we've actually hit the air yet.
The delay is only 80 seconds.
Now, have we talked about it enough where we're going to
see? Yes, we talked about it for more than a minute. And besides,
Rob, are you dialing in?
He's talking to somebody else. Besides, people are always calling anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know?
They're calling always.
Constantly. But not right now.
Hold on. Well.
All the lines are dark.
There, hold on. That's an inside line. 1-877-365-3636.
So we can call for help.
Hello?
Ah. Well.
That's super. Hold on, they got it now.
Pick that up? Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Wow.
Hi, Rob.
Rob calling from the back of the room.
You fix it?
This line works.
Okay. Oh, there they go.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now they're working.
Do you think it was Matt, the touchy engineer? If it was, thank you, Matt.
Yes.
If it was Tony.
Look at him now. Look.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Thank you, Tony.
Whoever did it.
What do you think? We just woke people up.
See, this is what I'm not kidding. This is what somebody should have said last night when they were doing this abortion show with Joe Gibbs.
Uh-huh.
And don't take that out of context.
No, it wasn't.
Because that's the next thing that'll be. It was said on WJFK. Joe Gibbs was on during an abortion show.
We don't want him to leave just to see, just after he got here. Chair's not warm yet.
Yeah, let's see. Joe, Don and Mike. Joe.
Hi, Don.
Hi there.
What's your question for the coach?
Oh, hold on. It's
our
Joe. Hold on.
Joe Arden.
He put himself up on the screen. It just says Joe from Virginia.
Well, I wanted to tell you that I was getting calls. They're just people weren't ramping up to the show yet.
Oh, you were getting calls?
Yeah.
All right.
I find that hard to believe, Joe.
No, I was.
Then how come everybody's calling now? Are you telling about what we were saying was so riveting?
You asked them to call, now they're calling.
Oh, see, he said he was getting calls.
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
I didn't see any phones ringing at all, Joe.
Well, when you told me that, I looked over and I didn't see anybody calling either.
I've only gotten like a handful. They're mostly people, they weren't too happy about the first segment of the show, so I just hung up on them.
Why are they not happy with the first segment of the show, Joe?
Because you were talking about the hockey.
We're talking about what?
What? What are you talking about,
hockey.
Joe?
The hockey.
What about hockey?
They didn't like the insinuation by the tone of your voice.
What is it? I'm glad you're on the front lines, Joe.
Thank you.
Who's laughing in the background?
Beth Ann.
Glad you guys are having a good time back there.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Unbelievable.
I don't know.
Never
maybe
heard that
maybe nobody was calling.
Happy February, everybody.
Maybe nobody was calling, but I know that I always keep an eye out.
Yeah.
And there are times like five or six lines are ringing.
Mm-hmm.
But normally it's always like that, right?
But it's good to know February's more than half over now.
Yeah, isn't it?
We're almost to March.
Yeah, very exciting.
Let's see what Beth Ann was laughing about.
Beth Ann.
Because I would ask her a question.
I've never heard that laugh.
Hi, what were you laughing about?
Doing a little whatever it was he was doing because they're upset about the hockey.
She liked his character voice.
I don't know where it came from. I'd never heard it before. And generally, you know, I hear all of his character voices. I'm back here with him.
Beth Ann, we never totally covered your flower situation for Valentine's Day. How many listeners or radio stations sent you flowers?
I really made up handsomely.
Really?
How many?
I got some from the Iowa City station.
Uh-huh.
Right. Beautiful, beautiful bouquet. I did get a dozen pink roses from another listener.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And then there was also a check involved.
Check.
Somebody sent you money?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
$106.70.
Wow, that's very nice.
Was that for services rendered?
Could be.
Hey.
Really? Wow. And that came from a listener?
I don't care who it came from. But, yeah, I'm assuming it was because it was for, I can't remember what the card said. It was something what I went through for Valentine's Day.
What you went through? Oh, that horror that you had to go through.
But no one sent a thong.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I also got a dozen thongs.
Ah.
Did anyone Did anyone sign the card Mike O'Mara?
I got a teddy bear that was from Mike O'Mara.
That's nice.
A huge teddy bear. Oh, and I did get chocolates. I'm sorry.
Wow.
So look at you, got a lot of stuff.
Oh, you cleaned up. You had a great Valentine's Day.
Thank you. I was wonderful.
And a little chat with country.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which you enjoyed.
Nothing beats chocolates from a listener.
And get ready for this. Beth Ann's big personal appearance tour starts on Saturday.
Very exciting.
Yeah, really. I just voiced the promotional announcement for
Beth Ann, where will you be appearing?
I'll be at Singular Wireless in Alexandria on Duke Street.
She'll be doing her one-woman vaudevillian type show.
Oh, very exciting.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have food. We're going to have fun. We're going to have prizes.
Are you bringing your unicycle?
I'm bringing it all, Mike.
Everyone, you'll want to get there early to get a good seat.
See, the thing is, poor Beth Ann. Listen, she's a great producer, but in so many ways, she's got so much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this raw, naivete about situations. She doesn't know the hell that doing a personal appearance is. When you show up at a location, and Beth Ann, I'm sure that yours will be the exception to the rule, but it's been my experience. You show up at a hardware store or a drugstore at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Oh, sure.
Ain't nobody there to see you. I mean, well, we've been through this heartache with Buzz.
Yes. Well, let's mention the fact that it's also a lot of fun, too, when a particular client thinks you're their personal property.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes, that's exciting.
How was it that time that you were at the shopping mall?
I went to a mall at like 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I thought, you know, this is prime time for malls. So there'll be a million people there. Crickets, please.
Yeah, right.
No, there was nobody there.
But here's what's cute and disturbing about Beth Ann, that she believes this.
Yeah.
She was walking around before the show today, like planning. She's planning music, and she's planning games, and she's imagining that families are going to be coming out, and that she's going to put on the best gosh darn show she can.
One of the best ones I ever did was when I was a baby DJ, and I did a remote at, I think, a hardware store, and the owner of the hardware store asked me to ride around the outside on one of the riding lawnmowers, which I thought was a lot of fun.
That's at least something to do.
But I went along with it. Yeah. I went along, but I've never really. It might have been the circumstances, the number of people. I never felt more like an ass than when I was doing that.
You go to those places,
but
you...
the money's awful sweet.
Yeah, well, the money's green and Bethann's there. And what's great is that she's got this attitude, which I know will be sucked out of her by Monday.
She'll get past that.
I won't. I won't. I like doing that stuff.
Okay. You have some games planned?
Yeah, Shondell and I have actually discussed stuff on Tuesday. And
like what games?
We're going to load the vehicles on Friday, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock. The remote's at noon in Alexandria.
It's not a remote.
Hold on a second. Now, wait a minute. All right, now I'm speaking for every other radio personality. Bethann?
Uh-huh.
I'm speaking for every other radio disc jockey, radio performer, you know. You got a remote at noon, and you're showing up at 10 o'clock for it?
She's having a meeting.
You're doing some damage here. You know that, don't
you?
That's
a bad precedent.
You really are. Hold on, Miss Goody Two-Shoes.
Figure.
You are screwing up the remotes of everybody else.
That's right.
Of all the other slackers that work here.
Right.
Your arrival time should be about 12:05. And not any later than that.
Yeah, and you should have the salesperson load everything and do, and you know, they're the ones making the big bucks.
And furthermore, take it from me, Mr. Insecurity, Mr. I hate meeting people. You want to do, after a while, do what I did. You will want to get there about a half hour early, park in a back corner of the parking lot. On one hand, you're hoping anybody shows up, but on the other hand, you're hoping nobody shows up. And God forbid you open the door to leave your vehicle, and some listener comes up and goes, I love your show, and then you walk in with that listener, and as it turns out, for the whole 2 hours that you're at the goddamn opening of the mobile pay-on-the-go thing, he's the only guy that's there, besides the people that are coming in to get gas don't care that there's a disc jockey there by the Twinkies.
You'll spend the entire 120 minutes, Bethann, staring at that listener's teeth, trying to figure out what's with his teeth.
Yeah.
Well, no, B.A., you're going to turn it around. You're going to make it a happening.
It is. It's going to be fun. I just found out and true.
May I offer one piece of advice?
My information was wrong. And it's 1 to 3.
Okay.
But if you'd like to get there at noon, I'll be there for you. But it's actually 1 to 3.
May I offer one piece of advice?
Oh, my God.
When you get your prizes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. When you get your prizes from the WJFK prize closet.
Well, I've been collecting some along the way.
Don't give away one of your two good DVDs early on. You'll want to hold on to the two good prizes so you have them later.
Rob's a pretty good veteran of these things.
Oh, I've been doing them for years.
Well,
you at least won't be cleaning windows.
I visited Rob's last week to see what to expect.
Yes, I hope it's that good.
I'm hoping.
That's pathetic. You went to see Rob doing his appearance only to see...
Doing a little investigative... I wanted to learn.
Doing a little recon.
She went to school on me and got to spend about 10 minutes of watching me talk to Jag.
Jag's a guy that works here, incidentally.
Yeah.
That's how you spend...
I interact with people. Do you remember that, Rob, when the one guy came up? I saw how you interacted.
Yeah, how did I do?
Not very good. I said hello to him first.
There you go.
We'll
get that out of you.
You'll love it. And again, where is this one-woman show happening?
It's at Singular Wireless in Alexandria on Duke Street from 1 until 3.
And it's 1 o'clock till 3.
Bring on Saturday. It'll be fun.
Hold on. Here's some guy on the phone says you didn't get money from a listener.
How could that?
Neil?
First of all, Bethann said Duke Street. That made me laugh. And the other thing was that I don't think she got money from a listener. I think she got money from a missner, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, you think it was Dennis Murphy?
No, he's tapped out.
No, it wasn't. Dennis owes us all gifts.
And as much as he loves to be on the air, he's tight.
He wouldn't part with $100.
Yeah, he's too cheap. He's too cheap.
Nice of you to think that, but no.
Did you cash that, Bethann?
No. I am.
That's the right answer, honey.
Okay.
That's good. Let's keep that. Let's keep that answer.
Yeah.
Even AFA Uye Ash K E they
Gotcha.
Hurry, hey, up, A. It A May A B Ops Payments Day.
In A is sufficient A Uns Fay.
I'm starting to understand that. No.
Unknown A Account A.
I understand. Okay.
Identity A F Fay.
Ong fei. It has nothing to do with that. I just like saying thong and
Latin. Honey may ondering lay. Offshore A, account A.
All right, Beth Ann.
Okay.
How do you, what is Joe doing now? I hear him back there.
Eamon K. Islands K.
People that are calling out.
He what?
Adderford K.
What's he doing?
He's talking to all the people that are calling now.
Ah, now they're all calling.
Yep.
Beth Ann, you still haven't mentioned any games you have planned, or are they surprises?
They're surprises.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Give us an example, please.
I'll give you an example.
Are you going to play Find the Lifesavers? Pick up the quarter.
Just
it's gonna be
us.
A fun day at the old phone store.
Just tell us one of your games, and we won't make up games.
Where's this razor phone?
Well, I do make fun of it. I'm not gonna tell you. You have to come out.
Now, listen. We're gonna keep playing. We're gonna keep playing these games. How many thongs am I wearing? Beth Ann, give us one of your. We got a break here, so give us one of your games.
Where's the antenna?
Limbo.
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 Oh, my God. Limbo. So the limbo starts at 1 o'clock, and your parade over there starts at 9 a.m., right?
Limbo. You're doing limbo at a personal appearance.
Limbo lower now.
I'm not doing it. They are. I'll just be...
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
right.
The crowd.
And
yeah, well, the host of limbo always has to do the first limbo.
Well, the guy with the teeth.
I will.
The guy with the teeth will do the limbo.
Welcome to the cell phone luau.
All right, goodbye, Beth Ann.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's too good.
I bet it takes her about a half dozen appearances before she stops caring. That's what it took me.
You don't know who this Beth Ann.
You think?
I'm going to say
she's
too.
A different person. She's a different hombre. Yeah, she's tough to beat down.
Will she always care?
Sadly, I think she will, Rob.
Wow.
I think she will always care.
Then she's
care.
Setting herself up for massive disappointment.
We can break her.
I know. This place can break her. We don't have to break her. This place will break her.
I know.
But WJK will break her, and we'll be there to pick up the pieces.
I was concerned about the 10 o'clock meeting with the sales rep. No.
It's
so bad.
And Mike, think
because,
about
you
that
know,
now.
They get wind of that, it's you know, a, it's my a, God.
Now it's a three-hour window before the appearance.
Yes.
She's having the meeting at 10 and the appearance isn't even until 1, and she'll probably...
Doesn't she know what the average sales executive here is going to do? Hey, Em, would you pick that up for me, too? Since you're going to be there, listen, because you know when the call's going to come in? The call's going to come in Saturday at about 10:15 when the account executive's not here.
And then it's going to be, listen, Beth Ann, as long as you're heading over there, would you mind picking up the equipment? And oh, yeah, Beth Ann, you know what? You're so good at this, Beth Ann. I got a... Johnny's got a toothache.
Right.
Would it be possible you could just... Beth Ann...
Traffic is really horrible as I'm licking the maple syrup off my digits. We're going to need you to pick up some tape, but you can expense it.
I'm not going to be able to make it there until the last half of the appearance. And then at 1:59 or 2:59, whatever the end time,
right. That's
when the AE shows up. That's the account executive.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's my girl. How'd you do today?
Would you mind meeting some more people? I know it's 3:10. It's just getting going.
Right. Yes.
Oh, God. We shouldn't do that to her.
No.
She's like the only person in this place who has a good attitude.
She got a great attitude.
Yeah. And we have good attitudes, too, but in our own special way.
Uh-huh. Mike, no. We have not good. We have excellent bad attitudes.
Yes. Oh, top.
We're professionals.
When it comes to bad attitudes, we are above reproach.
Refine those attitudes.
We're the best. I mean, I'm not kidding. A lot of times,
our attitudes are more fun.
A lot of times I say things and I'm just boasting about our show, but I'm telling you, when it comes to having a bad attitude towards the people that you work for and your environment, nobody's better than us. Nobody's better.
You erased it.
No.
Oh, and incidentally, that appearance check you were supposed to get. That'll be coming to you in about 3 weeks. We're going to have to We're going to have to get it through payroll, and it'll be taxed.
You know what she'll never do, Robbie?
What?
The absolute, you've got to have this, the deal breaker that Mike and I taught you, finally, you always get your money first.
Up front.
Yeah, and I don't mean doesn't have to be days in advance, but I mean, if your appearance is at 10, you go to shake the guy's hand that's running the stereo section, you say, hi, you got a great line of products. Incidentally, is my check here.
Right. Yes.
That's how you start.
And until you get the check, there is no limbo.
And the limbo begins when the check's in my hand.
I've been on the phone with Rob when Rob's done this. I think you were at a track auto or something one day. Rob calls me and says, listen, I'm here, and it was, I think, your first time.
Could have been.
First time you were doing this, a little scared. walked you through it, said, I'm here, the check is not here, mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything. I said, good for you. Stand by your principles.
Right.
Wait until they pay you.
And they did. They did. They found the money.
And then, you know, put on the monkey suit and go, baby.
Dance,
go.
Baby, dance.
Go to town. Bar.
Make
hey,
it
look
happen.
Look who it is. It's Joe.
Hi, Joe. Joe.
I have a funny story about when I was negotiating my fee for doing appearances.
Isn't that true?
Alan wanted to pay me $25 an appearance, and I balked, and he said, well, I don't know about you, but I'd be happy with a little, with an extra $25 per paycheck. And I said, Alan, you're the vice president of this company.
Joe, did you ever stop to think where Alan was coming from on that?
Careful, you're going to upset some of the listeners.
I'm Gary P. Bettman, Commissioner of the NHL.
And I'm here to talk about Joe Ottinger, who doesn't understand the first thing about answering telephones for a radio show.
He certainly doesn't.
He does not.
I think, frankly, he should have taken the $25.
$25?
I would have paid him $10.
For 4 hours' worth?
Five. Five.
$2.50.
Sold.
I ended up negotiating.
Joe, shut, get out of here.
I ended up getting $150 in the
pay. Get out of here, Joe. Out of here, you moron.
Tell Beth Anna.
Idiot.
Thanks for stopping by, Swifty.
Glad you got to let everybody know what you get, Joe.
Big moron. Can you imagine that if you had Joe at your place doing an appearance?
You might get him out to your house.
Joe,
I'm here. I am.
It's worth it. $150.
Okay. We look at this. My God, what happened here?
Hey, incidentally, if you have a business,
10 till 4, we got a break.
And you're thinking about booking Joe for $150 appearance, you might want to try something else.
What's that?
Go home and throw it into your wood stove.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. No. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Buddha Mouse loves the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, www.donandmikewebsite.com.
Yes.
Maybe I'm retarded. Hold on. Let's get the quick results. Am I retarded?
That's right.
Thank you. Yes, I'm totally retarded. Making a living. I'm laughing at this Morris Jones thing.
Yes.
I'm playing it myself here during the commercials.
It's a wonderful piece of filmmaking.
The Morris Jones movie, it's a wonderful Morris Jones Christmas.
Yeah.
Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com. Excuse you, Buzz.
Sorry about that.
Now, is the girl on the phone, Robbie?
She waits you.
Okay, great. And I do mean great. I'm not real hot on reality shows anymore. I'm kind of burned on them. But this, to me, is very interesting. There was a woman that was on this show, Wife Swap,
mm-hmm.
last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we like reality shows, and then we get bored of them, and we want them to go further and further. The setup was that they were, and, you know, we're gay and lesbian-friendly, lesbian,
we are.
Homo-friendly. So, this interests me. They got these two lesbians that have a daughter. And what they do is they do the wife swap.
And this woman's conservative that moves in with the lesbian family.
And the mom, the non-lesbian mom, says that she's afraid, in essence, that her kids are going to catch it from being around what? This lady.
Oh, so when the conservative mom moves into the other house, the lady's wife technically yeah. moves in with the other family, so, and the mom's that conservative?
Yes, so the question is... Yeah, does this really screw up your life on these shows?
Hmm.
And the woman is nice enough to join us now.
Ah.
God, I wish I had her name.
Nikki Boone.
Hi, here she is. Hi, Nikki.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Funny.
Nikki.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, you're funny. You made me laugh at the homo-friendly. I've never heard that term before.
Well, you know, we've been homo-friendly for years, Nikki, and... what the hell possesses you to want to participate in this kind of a show?
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they were pretty nonspecific with gender and sex when they advertised for people interested in the show. So
right.
I wondered if they'd take a lesbian couple, and ABC did it, and I have to give them their kudos for that.
Okay. Now, my darling Nikki, how uptight was this other lady? And don't be offended, please, when I say I didn't see the show. I watch almost everything, but like I said, reality shows I'm burning out on. But the other mom, how on a scale of 1 to 10, how out of touch and uptight was she?
About 11, 12.
Okay. Really?
Wow. So. I mean, yeah, like, really, put together nose. Some, if you ask her anything about the Republican Party, I'm sure she has an answer.
Well, then,
she can quote the Bible like nobody's business. However, her actual understanding of how the world works and about compassion is so off the deep end.
Well, then, Nikki, hold on. Here's one question I have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying ABC was great and everything. Don't you feel like, now that it's aired and this happened, they torpedoed you? I mean, don't you think that they said, okay, let's get these two lesbians, nice couple, and you have a daughter, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's get these nice lesbians, and you know what we can do? We're going to get the most uptight, Rush Limbaugh-loving bitch we possibly can. And we are. Don't you think that that was ABC's plan all along?
Well, of course, and I knew that all along.
Ah. Okay, you knew it. You knew what was going on.
Okay.
You were
the
up.
The pair opposites, right?
But
what we did it for is we did it because we wanted to show middle America, everybody who's going to see this and does watch reality shows, the opportunity to see what a lesbian household with children actually runs like, that we're no different than any other neighbor on the street. And we feel that was accomplished with the show.
Okay, so you got out of it what you wanted to get out of it. You had a little bit of your own political agenda here, as well as having fun like anybody else would have on the show. My question to you would be, do you think that, that this really would change minds for anybody that might be predisposed to have a problem with a lesbian couple with a kid, like this lady, Chris Gillespie?
No, I don't particularly expect it to change their minds because their minds are set in stone.
Right.
However, I went on to message boards from people who are in middle America, just about every one of them is like, I'm a married, conservative, Christian, Republican woman, and
honey,
she gives a bad name to Christians.
Hey, honey,
don't
honey,
treat
honey,
people like this.
Honey, I don't, listen, first, please, darling Nikki, you cannot believe the internet message boards, okay? Those are trolls. Those people are trolls. I only believe people you can talk to and actually look in the eye, and or at least who you know.
And we've gotten letters from people. I mean, that it's very
okay,
positive.
Well, you can trust those a little more than you can trust the internet thing. What I want to know is when she says that her daughter, she fears for the safety. That was the quote.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she feared.
Oh, so she was a real
safety.
Ass.
Like,
all right.
What did she think you were going to do? Like attack her daughter and kiss her?
She was afraid of my girlfriend, because my girlfriend's the one that actually went to Texas. She was afraid her daughter was in danger of a child molester.
Wow.
I mean, and that based on the fact that she's a lesbian. And I can quote her. She said, because you're a lesbian, you're attracted to women, therefore you would be attracted to my 12-year-old daughter. Where is that logic?
Does that
heterosexual woman's attracted to her husband and her two sons?
But it's obviously the way a lot of people with those attitudes, it's the way they think. Now, did they let this lady, Chris Gillespie, did they let her know what was going to happen? I mean, obviously she had to give the go-ahead at some point to this whole thing happening. And here's, that leads me to my next question about of so many of these shows. You know, are we being duped here? Was there any setup involved? Or did this Chris Gillespie, really... I mean, what you see is what you got her. It just seems to me it's tough to take a little bit.
It wasn't down to editing. She really was that person that's portrayed. I mean, it was cut up in different ways. But overall, I mean, that's the person that she was, very condescending in her attitude. And she's like that in her real world.
In her mind.
Now, hold on. Hold on.
She didn't know.
Now,
none of us knew. We knew. We had no idea. We didn't know where we were going.
Okay.
We didn't know what to pass.
Hold on, though. Dig this, though. I just got a picture. Beth Ann brought this in from ABC.com.
Yeah.
It's Chris in a mixed marriage.
Interracial marriage, yep.
Oh, so she's in a mixed marriage.
So how about that? Huh. She's,
so if anybody should understand
cool.
bigotry.
She's cool with race relationships.
But she's not cool
she's not cool with homos.
Well, but that's understandable, too.
I pointed out to her that the Bible, people used to use the Bible to say the races shouldn't intermarry.
Right. Did you do anything? Did Chris's mind get changed at all by the end of this thing?
Absolutely not. And there are some people that your minds aren't going to change. But it's the people on the fence, the people who haven't really experienced it, don't really understand it, that got to see what discrimination is for the gay community, those are the minds that are going to get changed.
How long have you and your partner been together?
4 years.
Do you feel creepy after you were on this show?
Do I feel creepy?
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's just like, you know, you go on the show and you do it and then it's on and it's like it's you screaming at the, or the woman screaming at you and it's, you know.
And I was screaming at her. And the one thing I learned from doing the show is I learned how loud and abrasive I can be. And I try not to come off quite that way. But I am a very strong-willed person, and I have my opinions, and I am free to express them. So. Right.
Now, don't take this the wrong way, because I mentioned, we're gay-friendly. Are you in your relationship, do you consider yourself to be the husband or the wife? Because I'm going to guess you're the husband.
No, not at all.
No, really? No.
You have the picture there.
We only have the picture of the other.
I'm just judging you just on what I'm hearing, on your personality. Hold on.
No. I'm the one that wears.
Hold on. Which one are you on, the left or the right?
Long or short hair?
Long or short hair?
I don't know. I'm in a tank top, probably.
Yeah, you look like the wife.
Let me see.
And that's not a put down of your partner.
If we were going to categorize lesbians as we so often do on this show,
solidarity.
We actually, would you categorize yourself as a lipstick lesbian?
Yes.
And you're okay with that term?
That term's fine. I don't care about political correctness. It's about where it's coming from. Is it coming from your heart or are you being an ass?
Yeah. All right.
You know.
Yes.
And I don't take any offense as long as it's coming from the heart. You don't need any bad intention.
I'm sorry, it was coming from the ass.
So did you bring up with this lady the fact that the same bigotry that people will lay on a lesbian couple might have, you know, it still happens when it's a mixed marriage, it's a mixed racial marriage? Did that make any headway with her at all?
It didn't make any headway. You know, I asked her how she would feel if. You know, it was pre-1967, and she wasn't allowed to marry her husband by law.
Right.
And she had no response.
And her now their kids. Are their kids like, you know, swirl? I mean, are their kids mixed? Because I would think her kids would go through problems like that as well, with race problems.
I don't know. I can't say anything about the community in Austin, Texas, because I don't know what mixed they are.
Were the kids more open-minded than the parents?
Definitely. I definitely think so. Just in the sense that they're kids and they really, you know, they get preached this information and they may think it or believe it or whatever, but that they're just kids and they're good people. And as long as someone's nice to them, which Christine was very sweet to them and did great things for them and let them have fun, which they're not used to having. So they were fine with it, you know, kids.
So you're happy over.
You are. If you let them have fun, they like.
Nikki, you're happy overall with the way way ABC handled all of this. You think that maybe it portrayed everybody in kind of a fair light.
I think it's portrayed just about everybody in a fair light.
Okay.
Would you ever go on Fear Factor?
hell no! You go on Apprentice.
Apprentice, yes.
You go on the Apprentice. All right.
You would go on the Apprentice. Okay. And this now, tell me something. This other family, have they become famous at all, or infamous?
No, they're not doing any press.
They're not doing any press.
Because they're probably embarrassed about the way they came out looking.
Look at them.
They probably are, I said a prayer for them in church on Sunday. That was the first day back in church after that show aired, and I'm curious what people thought.
Can I ask you one more question, though, seriously, about the situation? Because I'm always curious about this when I see a gay couple that has a kid, especially a kid that your daughter looks like she's maybe in her teens now or almost in her teens.
No, she's 9.
Oh, she's 9? All right, well, she's the same age as my daughter. How tough is it for your daughter to deal with that?
Okay, JonBenet.
How tough is
couple?
Yeah, I mean, how tough is it for her?
It's not too, she's lucky, it's not too tough for her because of the neighborhood we live in. There's a lot of different people, with gay people within the neighborhood, so their parents know, stuff like that. My daughter's brownie troop, they all know. So it's okay with it, but when kids ask her direct questions about it, she doesn't want to answer it. She's just, she's not sure. She doesn't know how to handle it. She knows it's different, and she doesn't want to get teased. And, you know, so.
Was she embarrassed by all that stuff on TV?
No, she loved it. And part of, the other thing about it, though, is we told her, it's on at 9 o'clock at night here. All her friends, they're in the third grade. They're in bed by 9 o'clock. So none of the kids were going to see it, and none of the kids at school have seen it.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So it was okay for her because we definitely considered that. We considered what repercussions she could have within school and friends and stuff like that. But
did you, and after all of this was all done with, did you and your partner, your husband, your wife, did you two ever get together in privately in your own home, you know, have love as couples do and then laugh about them? About what asses they were. I mean, you know, really just exploring all that there is to explore with your life, with your lifestyle, and then, you know.
Did it make your partner, your relationship with your partner better?
And then getting done and saying, screw Chris!
Absolutely. Especially now that, you know, we've gotten such positive feedback from whether you take people on the message board seriously or not, I think it's sweet. They have been very kind, whether they're crazy or they're sane as hell.
All right.
I think it's nice. So.
Thanks for being on the show. We like talking to people after they've been on these dumb shows, and you sound like you made it through okay.
Yeah, and I think it kind of takes a lot of guts to do that. Nikki, you should be proud of yourself.
It does take a lot of guts, so I appreciate that. And hopefully, you know, the message got out.
Yeah, like there's all the beers.
That's the message, and keep looking good.
Couldn't hurt.
All right.
Keep looking good.
Thank you.
You're cute.
Thanks, Nikki.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You're cute.
Yeah, you got to be honest. You know, lesbian or not lesbian, you got to tell a woman when she's good-looking.
Yeah, as soon as I thought, boy, she's assertive. She's got some nads. But then you saw the picture, and you see right away, oh, hello. She's like a Barbie doll. Like a Barbie doll. And,
hey, you know, we neither one of us saw it, but I sure would have liked to watch it, you know. I really would like to see that episode.
Can I see the picture of her husband again?
Yeah.
I mean, of her partner.
And Nikki's partner?
Yes. Yes. Here, yeah. Let me just take a look. You got one thing, you're right.
Oh, definitely. Nikki is the lipstick lesbian in the pair.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question about that.
Well, let me just say this. Her partner is not as lovely as Dick Cheney's daughter. You know, but then again, what woman, straight or lesbian?
Now, hold on a second. You're being completely unfair. I think that she is much better looking than Cheney's daughter.
I was, Mike, that was a joke.
I know.
That was a
joke.
Well,
no one can see the pictures, Don.
That was a joke.
That's why I'm pointing that out.
Standard. Wow. She's cute. That one we just talked to is
Nikki,
cute.
You can't have her.
Yeah. She's like major league cute.
Not
available.
You
know what she got, though? She got that Frida mouth on her. I know right away. I don't care. Straight, lesbian, I don't care. She's a woman down to the core, and I know she's got that. She had that mouth. She had that tone that tells me, you know, of course she's the wife in that relationship.
I think so. Absolutely.
Of course she is. She does the yelling and the screaming.
Meanwhile, the other one's like, honey, get me a beer.
Yeah.
I want a beer. I don't want to do this unless you give me beer.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Nikki. It sounds like a porno name, too.
Nikki Boone?
Nikki Boone. Nikki Boone.
Nikki Boone.
I say Nikki Boone.
Hey, Nikki Boone.
All right, let's get some of these calls on. As you heard from Joe, apparently some people were calling.
Huh. You know, I'm looking at this show,
what?
Wife Swap, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you're really going to make this really a wife swap.
Yeah. Right, you do it the buzz way.
You do it, you know, you put it on Showtime or HBO.
Right.
And you have Mr. Gillespie.
You
see if you can make the flip.
Right.
I glanced at it wrong. I thought it was called Wife Slap.
Sure.
And I was watching it. When do they get to the good part?
Hey, you and I could be on that show.
Yeah.
I'd be on that show with you in a heartbeat.
It'd be a game show.
Wife Slap.
Wife Slap.
Wife Slap. Let me see if I got the rules straight. That means I'd slap Carrie and you would slap Frida.
And then we trade back and we slap our own. That's what happens in the last part.
But guys, you know, no matter how you slice it, they'd have to slap you too.
No.
Not on our version.
It's so different.
Not on Spike TV, Mike. Phone scan, network for men. Phone scan, here we go at 877-365-3636. Canada, 800-636-1067. Your live on-screen calls are coming next on the phone scan, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A year ago, you said they were the greatest thing that ever happened to us.
I've grown, you haven't.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right,
it's the favorite radio program of Charlie M. The Don and Mike Show.
Charlie M.
Charlie M.
That's who.
You made me come down here for Charlie M.
Time for a phone scan at 877-365-3636. And from Canada, what are you doing, Buzz? What are you cleaning up over there?
I'm cleaning up my stories.
Don't you think it's time someone did?
800-636-1067. I just look over there, and you're doing something.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure it's above the belt, whatever it is that you're doing.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's within all local ordinances.
I might be speaking out of school here.
Yeah.
I'm reasonably sure today.
Yeah.
He's whacked out of his mind on meth.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he is. It's a theory I have. Look at him.
Actually, my first day medication-free.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem.
Were you just compulsively washing your hands or cleaning your hands?
No, no.
What is it?
It's embarrassing. I'm peeling pieces of paper off of cards.
Are you recycling the cards?
I was running a little short on cards, and so I'm taking stories that had cards that had stories glued to them, and I'm peeling them off like that, you see, so I can read.
Okay, take a blood sample.
Walk the over the cuckoo's
nest. Yeah, he's pure tranquilizer.
You know what? He's a cinch for employee of the week, though. If he's recycling index cards,
I can make an airplane.
No, listen, I've been there before. You know what that is? All he needs is a hotel room with a peephole. Just to be standing at the peephole for 4 or 5 hours.
Sure.
No one's coming, are they?
Yeah.
No one's coming. Quick, help me peel some more index cards.
Help me! Buzz, let us know if rats start crawling out of your buttonholes.
Buzz, you mean again?
That's right.
And Buzz, before you go with that story again about peeling the index cards,
yes,
maybe you'll remember every single day when you come into the office and we chat before the show.
Right.
Have you never seen the gigantic stack of index cards on my desk?
Well, those are your cards.
Oh, those are for everybody to you.
I didn't know that.
Have they already been peeled?
Because if they haven't, I'll peel them.
That's right.
No. Index cards. Peel them like an egg.
See, Buzz wanted to reuse them. Hey, just go get yourself some index cards, Buzz.
I ran out. I didn't know there were more. Okay. Now I know.
I saw him peel one card, and underneath the paper it said, Dewey defeats Truman.
He's used them for years.
So long.
Well, see, Buzz, you should have just said you were washing your hands or something.
Yeah, I suppose.
See, because the thing is,
I look foolish.
No, you don't. Not at all. I look over that way. I look over that way, and I see you doing something.
Fiddling around.
Right away, you do that thing where you just kind of put everything under the desk.
Well.
You fold your hands, and you look at me like.
The show's on, Don.
Ready for the show.
Right.
Rob, who is that Civil War photographer that took
Matt Brady.
Matt Brady. Good friend of Buzz's.
Hello.
I thought I'd throw that in there.
Don and Mike show. Phone scan time. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hey, did you see that one wife? Did you actually watch Wife Swap at all?
No, never seen it. No.
Wife. Oh. Well, they had one. They had one gal that went to Louisiana, and she was this big vegan, and she was going nuts about them, you know, barbecuing meat and how the charcoal on the barbecued meat was, you know, give you cancer and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the show, they show her on the porch smoking.
All right.
But anyway.
Yeah, that was worth it.
That's good.
Thank you. That's a good
tidy.
Call.
Tobacco's a vegetable.
Don and Mike show. Phone scan. Hello.
Yes, Don and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hi.
You didn't see the Wife Swap, I take it.
Rubber Ducky.
I think he's turning his radio
over. Over, Roger, over.
Hello?
Yes.
Don and Mike.
I can't take it today. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Clark County Justice Center, tear it down, build it again, Carpenter's 1977. What's up, Buzz?
Hey, dude.
Did you follow that, Buzz?
Buzz, are you tracking?
In a way, yes.
Okay, good.
Hello.
Please explain.
Well, I think he's crazy like I am.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Did that have something to do with soft rock legends, the Carpenters?
No, I don't believe so. I think he was talking about building something and tearing it down. That's sort of what I'm doing.
Oh, isn't there a chance that he might have been referencing a movie? It could have been a line out of a movie.
There is that chance.
But isn't there also the chance he was talking about Karen and Richard?
There's the chance that he just was whacked. Who knows? But I think he was giving us a movie line.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
The King sucks and his BA thonged up.
Don't know. I don't think the Kings suck. And as far as BA being thonged up, I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Oh. Disqualification.
Violation.
That last caller might have been referring to the institution of monarchy. And kings do suck.
No, Robin. The Sacramento Kings.
Oh, okay.
And just so this is still relevant, let me just say. So far away. Gag. Vomit. I fell in love with you. Puke, regurgitation. Vomit.
Binge. Purge.
And then some more vomit.
Not the same. No.
How about this? I know it's not applicable, but let me just try it.
Fart sound effect.
Fart sound effect. Vomit. Fart sound effect.
This actually makes me sad, you doing this.
And now right here, that one that...
Big vomit sound effect.
Yeah, the one that really would just be the, you know, splatter paint.
Yes, that's when we'd be, you know, we'd just be showing our teeth laughing.
Yeah.
Unhinging our jaws in here.
That's the best, with the carpenters.
That would be like a transcript of the old show.
Hello, absolutely. Don and Mike show. Vomit. Hello,
Purge.
Don and Mike.
Check it in.
Hold on. He was checking with his own chime, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Donaldo E. Miguel.
We go to line four.
Don and Mike show. Hello, you're on the air.
Don, Mike, Buzz.
Yes.
Hey man, I saw that wife swap the other day with the two lesbos.
Yes.
And if you saw them in person or on the TV, neither of them were very much to look at.
Oh, were they really? What about the one we were talking to? Her picture was cute.
Yeah, but she was a little bigger, and but she was definitely the wife of the group because she sat inside and did nothing, and the other girl did all the housework, the yard work. Everything. She was definitely the woman of the relationship.
Isn't it great when you show your lives out there for everybody to see? She's a little bigger than she looked in the picture.
He just called it like it is, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Hey, that's TV.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Buzz, you're my hero, man. I live vicariously through you.
Oh,
and Don, I would love to do a house, a wife swap with Frida. And please, stop saying verboten every goddamn night.
See, this is a guy that's in love with your wife.
Annoying.
Hold on, what's annoying?
Every night you say verboten before Buzz starts. I'm sure Buzz doesn't like it, and you can ask other callers, too.
But, sir, every night in that same segment, I say, that's me. So we do that little thing.
So you're forbidden?
No. We have little things we say.
Are we talking about this tape?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, we're talking about the standard intro.
Allow us to demonstrate, sir.
Watch this. Yes.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me,
Buzz.
He made it up.
See, forbidden, verboten.
So, what's your problem, dude?
I don't like it.
Well, pound sand.
All right.
I mean, it don't matter. I like it. Buzz likes
it. We do.
And if you could get all of our listeners, and if they said they didn't like it, I don't care.
All right, Frida's hot.
See, that's the issue. That's the issue right there.
This
is the kind of guy at the cocktail party, you got to knock him on his butt.
I don't argue with you on that. My wife is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you are verboten.
Wouldn't it be great, though, guys like that at a cocktail party, you walk up and go, hey, am I interrupting anything over here? Okay. You know? Just sit there, and the guy just like goes right into the table. You know, and they got the bar set up on, this is just a little fantasy of mine. They got the bar set up on one of those little card tables, you know.
Yes.
And you walk over to Slick E-Boy, who's like going, you know, I don't like the way he uses the word verboten all the time. Oh, hi. Hi, how are you? Well, hi, I noticed you're having a nice conversation over here, aren't you, you son of a...
Boom. And the other thing I love is, well, the guy says, and I know Buzz doesn't like it.
Right.
Like I'm doing that every day for 10 years with Buzz.
Just
and Buzz is sitting over there going, that bastard. Boy, I wish he would stop doing that.
Hey, by the way, your wife's real hot. Here's my baseball bat.
Hello.
Have a nice mouthful.
Don and Mike show, phone scan. Hello.
Hey Don, I don't want to bust your balls, but
no, come on, everybody does.
I really do think you're a genius and all that, and I love the.
Yeah, but come on, let's get to what
the face that lost 1,000 saddles was great, but if you think that your stupid dog is smiling, then you're a moron.
Now, this is opening up a recurring debate that we're having on the show.
Listen.
Weren't we supposed to have something on that
expert or something?
That?
Yeah, I think we are sometime.
You know what I seen last night?
What?
I seen a lot of dogs smiling at the Westminster Kennel Show.
And, you know, I watched that last night instead of American Idol.
And I think I really do. You know what? I'm not a dog owner, but I seen all these dogs smile.
Yes, and my German Shepherd smiles at me, and definitely the little one, the Toto dog, Rudy, he smiles. Absolutely.
Their brains are the size of an English walnut.
You can call me a retard if you like, but I'm telling you that those little brains know when I'm home. They smile when I come
home. There's a growing school of thought. People believe dogs smile.
I can't accept that.
And Lester Holt said one particular... Now, this is where I had trouble. Lester Holt last night on the dog show says, this breed of English working dog is known for its tremendous sense of humor. It's just like, F you.
Practical joker.
Well, wait a minute, though. You're contradicting yourself.
No, they can smile, but what are they going to do, puns?
Well, no, if they're smiling.
No, they're smiling.
That means something amuses them.
They're smiling. Happy. They're smiling because they're happy to see you.
So
they don't get jokes.
Am I to understand that both of you are advocating the fact that, which is untrue, the dogs can smile.
Yes, they can.
But dogs cannot possess a sense of humor.
I don't think they have a sense of humor.
Nor do I. No.
Like if you flip, would a dog laugh?
Let me say this. Who's to say that another dog wouldn't do something that the dog would think would be funny?
They play pranks.
That we wouldn't. So, yes, I think the dogs, on their own level, can
laugh. Smiling is different than a sense of humor, because a sense of humor, to me, is laughter, and dogs don't laugh.
I am saying to you that they can neither, they possess one emotion.
Anger?
Anger.
Oh.
Like, if you go out and they want to go with you and you put them somewhere they don't want to be, they trash your house, they poop in different parts of your house.
That's your dog.
That is anger.
That's
it's
your
not just
dog.
Me.
But if the,
there are thousands of people that would corroborate this testimony.
Let's go with that and say dog that smile. They have anger. What if about there is the complete absence of anger? Would that result in a smile?
You know, I'm. That's, you know what? You've actually argued me to a point where I might be able to agree with you.
And our dogs really love us, yet they continue to crap in our house.
That's just because they're upset that you're not
darling,
there.
Yes, my boo-boo.
Darling, do our dogs or do they not smile at us?
I have confirmed that you are telling the truth on this before. But are your friends still skeptical?
No, some dummy caller.
Oh.
Some well, dummy. And a dummy partner, because I'm still saying I don't like dogs
smile. I didn't want to call you a dummy.
I appreciate that.
They do. But
this morning...
You know, it's funny, after we had this conversation, I think Buzz added that they laugh. I have read that also. Mm-hmm.
Do you think dogs can have a sense of humor?
Well, I don't know that they get the same jokes that we do, but I don't get the same jokes as my husband, so it's hard to judge.
That's very true.
Yeah.
What about Rudy? Rudy is although Colonel Klink, the German Shepherd, smiles sometimes and looks like that... Who is that dog, that Danny O'Day dog that used to do the commercial?
Barful. Yes.
Yeah, that's who my...
is that the one, the same one that did Nestle's makes the very best chocolate?
That's my dog, the German Shepherd. That's what his mouth is like when he smiles.
Ah, but I bet the little one, that was funny.
It should be, you know, it really is the psychology of dogs, and I think Rudy smiles the most is because he's the low man on the totem pole, so he has to be more ingratiating than the other two.
But I know when we're having our coffee in the morning, he's sitting there, and I look down at him, and I go, "We're daddy's boy. We're daddy boy." And boom, those teeth come up and smile.
Corners of the mouth turn.
Frida's right there as well. He smiles. Well,
he doesn't smile for me. He loves me better, but he doesn't smile for me like he smiles for you.
Well, now, how do you know he loves you better? I'm not debating that. I agree, but how do you know?
Because I do more things with him. I take them for walks. I spend more time with him. He's just my buddy. I mean, he'd come to me when we're in the boat.
But I'm the cookie man.
But Frida's more familiar with his backstage personality.
I'm the cookie man, though.
But he finds you funnier, Sugar. Just enjoy that.
All right. Well, my dogs do smile. Thank you, baby.
All right. You're welcome.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye, see.
My cat chuckles.
I've been showing my dog Marmaduke for years. Never a laugh.
Never a laugh?
No, they just don't like visual comedy.
What about Howard Hughes?
That they love. And the Lockhorns.
I can't really reference that. I lost all my dogs over the years.
Yeah.
Custody battles.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. And those that you had to put down.
Yes, of course.
Hello.
They asked for it.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
You soil the house and put them down.
They begged for it.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Yeah, hi.
You want to go back to the puppy mill?
Hello, you are on the air, sir.
Nice. Hey, I'm out here in Portland, Oregon, man. I'm dying. What's it going to take to get you guys for the full 4 hours?
Where are you?
I can't.
You got to move. He wants to know how to get the whole show.
Where's he calling?
He's in Portland.
In Portland,
Portland,
yeah.
Oregon?
You got a terrible phone there. It's hard to understand you, sir.
I don't know. Yeah, call your local station if we're only on for 3 hours. I don't know.
Or move.
Yeah, or move somewhere where the show's on for 4 hours.
Well, all right, man, I'll have to go to Spokane, I guess.
Yeah, all right, dude, thank
move
you.
Move across the whole country. You could live in Maine and, you know, not change the name of the town you live in.
Hello, right. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Mike.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about Terry Francona, what happened to him the other day?
Yeah, I read it this morning, Terry.
What is this?
Manager of the Red Sox was...
what happened to him?
He was being interviewed on the local sports station up in Boston and got into a car accident he was... but he's going to be just fine.
He's doing the thing on the car.
The guy that rear-ended him had a freaking Yankees cap on.
Yankees cap on.
Is that a bad omen or what? I don't know. I'm kind of scared now.
I think they're trying to get us any way they can, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike.
The way I look at it.
Hello.
2 decades of Don and Mike, better than a colonic.
Thank you, ass. Pun intended.
Keep working on it.
Don and Mike show. Hello. And listen, what we've decided to go with officially is Don and Mike, 2 decades of service.
Service, simple as that.
Mm-hmm. 2 decades of service.
Two decades of service, and the posters will be you and I in paramedic outfits.
I thought we'd be in Uncle Sam's suits.
How about we go back to the original, the nurse's outfit?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Okay, but I'm the male nurse this time.
Yeah, okay.
Hello.
No problem.
Hello.
Oh, like you'll get an argument from me.
Male nurse makes me think of Meet the Fockers,
yes.
Which makes me think that one of the dumbest things in the movie Meet the Fockers was the De Niro scenes with the baby, which didn't need to be in the movie because Ben Stiller hadn't had the baby yet.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the baby, the grandchild, he was teaching the baby hand signals because they were saying that. Anyway, now these Kabuka celebrities, they're all into this. And I saw Will and Grace, what's her name? Deborah.
Messing? Kabuka or Kabbalah?
Kabbalah.
Yes.
Kabbalah.
Yes, even though she's not into it.
Uh-huh.
Any celebrity that does something that's cool and trendy, I put them in that category.
Okay.
So, she says, Deborah Messing says, I have a baby, and I had heard about this when I was reading a script for Meet the Fockers, that children understand sign language. So, she's claiming now that this is how she's communicating with her 8-month-old son,
mm-hmm.
that her 8-month-old son, when he wants milk, she said the sign is, it's like he's squeezing on a cow's teat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Squeezing on the...
Just like in the movie.
Squeezing on the udder. Yes,
right.
just
right.
like in the movie.
Right.
And I think that is either fantastically intelligent and a breakthrough,
right.
or I think you're setting the child back emotionally years, and he'll probably be wetting his pants until he's an adult.
You'll know in 16 years.
You know, I don't know. It's either brilliant.
Or he's going to have a real tough time when he goes into a single bar, and the singles bar wants to buy a girl a drink.
And then I'm thinking about...
Hey, you want something?
Then I'm thinking about Deborah Messing.
Uh-huh.
You know, listen, I'm all for this, honey, but who reads a script for Meet the Fockers and then thinks, hey, this is a great idea for how I'm going to raise my baby.
Hey, but if the kid wets his pants till he's 18, what better last name to have?
The Messing. Hello.
The baby Messing.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Come on, Hello. You.
Yes, you're the wet spot. Hello.
Hello.
What?
How are you guys this afternoon?
Come on, don't ask us how we are. Don't you know that? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, my dog's definitely, my dog laughs. He pees every time in the morning. He laughs so hard.
Well, who doesn't?
What cracks him up, sir?
I don't know. I think it's me sleeping.
I don't know.
All right, thank you. Jim Fowler calling in right
Hello,
now.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I bet I know what cracks that dog up. What cracks up anybody? Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
If I meet one more person in real life who says to me, I love your show, but you guys never talk about Larry the Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else a dog would find funny? Mark Addy.
Oh, you got it in today.
Still standing.
Damn it, I was going to say. Nah, it wasn't in my brain. Got to get it in the first segment.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike,
yeah.
How you guys doing?
Hey, another disqualification. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hey, Mike. Come, Mike.
Hello, it's both of us, yeah.
Hey, Mike. Check this out.
I'm going to go all ahead and see you got on your show. So that's what me introduce myself.
What is that,
Humpty?
He's playing the Humpty dance.
The Humpty dance. It's too bad it's a bad cell phone.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Wee, 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 wee.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, it must be true that dog smiled because it's in that new movie, right? It's a true story. Winn-Dixie or whatever that is.
And Winn-Dixie is supposed to be a good movie for kids.
I thought Winn-Dixie was a grocery store.
I thought so too, but the dog smiles, so it's got to be true if it's on the movies,
yeah,
right?
Okay, I get sarcasm. Okay, hello, Don and Mike show.
Winn-Dixie is Rob's slogan.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you doing?
You just throw in the back.
Right. Did you just say, how are you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
You're talking about Vincent D'Onofrio. You know he won an Emmy when he was on, he did an episode of, what was that, Murder, or Homicide Life.
You mean
He played the guy that got his legs caught in the subway, and they had to. As soon as they took the subway away, he was going to die, and the guy was talking to him. It was awesome.
Homicide based in Baltimore?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Richard Belzer was on that
Ed
show.
Belzer, right.
Right, yeah, good show. Okay, listen, good show, good call. Last person on the phone scan. What's your name? Any idea?
Yeah, it's Jerry.
Jerry, where are you from?
San Ramon. It's out by Sacramento.
All right, don't be done. That's okay.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, he's right. He's right to say, you know, he's right to take the apologetic tone with you.
Yeah.
So it's the only point I was making here.
It's fine with me if you say Sacramento.
Right. What is that little town again?
San Ramon.
San Ramon, you've been remarkably well behaved, Rob. I think we might want to give them a temporary, exemption.
No.
Rob,
how far are you from Sacramento?
About 2 hours.
Oh.
2 hours away, Mike.
Rob.
San Ramon.
San Ramon will not be in the Modesto, Folsom, Chico, Stockton category.
So much depends on how this call goes.
This is true.
It's going great.
But I will say this. You know, it's 2 hours from Sacramento to Reno, and that's a different world.
That is. Yeah, okay, right. So San Ramon gets a pass today. You've represented San Ramon. Don't screw up. You only got a few more seconds to be on the air.
Congratulations. You won the $20 Tower Records gift card, Tower Records and Tower.com. Everything worth hearing is here.
Outstanding. Thanks, guys.
See, simple. San Ramon,
yeah.
Say hi to everybody in Sacramento for us.
Seemed hollow to me. Mr. Hate, come on.
Thank you, my friend.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Good job. Bye-bye. See, he was just standard
Sacramento rules.
2 hour drive away, and he was still admitting to being kind of near Sacramento.
Yeah.
San Ramon. I swear to God, I'm on a vacation there.
Wow.
San Ramon.
All right. Nice. Welcome aboard.
It sounds nice.
Yeah.
He's off the hook.
Sounds like a big, like, juicy glass of wine.
Uh-huh.
I was San Ramon.
Tomato.
San Ramon.
This is a wonderful San Ramon tomato.
It's a good San Ramon piece of asparagus.
What if you got there, really, and it was more retarded than Sacramento?
Oh, that's impossible.
Doesn't seem like it.
That's absolutely impossible unless you go to one of those homes.
You'd be like the rubber room?
Yeah, no, the town of Sacramento.
Yeah.
Nothing can compare to it. Okay. And for God's sakes, don't let them know you're coming.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ron Burgundy, and Morris Jones, and his homemade movie that he made that we never thought we'd ever be able to share with you, but now through the internet we can.
Yeah, go over there if you're planning on doing a little shopping, go on and take a look at the movie that we have for you.
An instant classic. Now it's Billy Bush.
As we pay you.
From Billy Bush from Access Hollywood tonight at 7:30 on NBC4. Around the country, check your local listings. Hey, Billy. Billy, do you have any recollection of who Morris Jones is?
Oh, yeah, from Fox 5, the WCTG?
You got
right.
It.
Right.
Yep.
Well,
he sees Morris that his head, the hair that he had was detachable. He could keep it in the box.
Yeah,
absolutely. He had the huge head, the oversized head.
Well, he still does.
Oh, I have that hair. It's very funny.
You know, your hair seems to be getting bigger and bigger.
It's very big every day. I don't know why it is, but it's becoming almost a caricature. I look at the thing, I don't do the hair, and I kind of stay out of that.
I think you're not at the level that Conan is at, but if you let it go, you could get there, really.
It's going up and up. I'm going to keep at it.
Conan O'Brien's hair almost looks like when they do the drawing of him.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that cartoon that they have of him?
I don't think he plays with it that much either. I think that's like the natural cowlick.
Do you play with your hair a lot, Billy?
No, we got a hair guy, and he gets in there, and he goes crazy.
So where are you now? Normally, we hear you're on, like, a landline. Where are you at right now?
I'm driving just past the Warner Brothers studio, and I'm heading into a tennis club, and I'm going to hit some tennis balls.
Do you have the sweater, like, tied around your shoulder?
Come on. With LW embroidered on it?
Lottery winner, really? Are you really going to play tennis?
I drive in, and I don't even stop. I just keep going in the car, and I yell to the guy, "Get me an Arnold Palmer!"
Listen, who knows what he's doing, for goodness sakes. You know.
Do you know what an Arnold Palmer is? That's a trivia question for you.
I do not.
That's half iced tea and half lemonade.
Okay.
That's all it is. Oh. See, he's just the Mr. Wholesome guy. That's what he, you know. How about like a Long Island iced tea?
Supposed to believe that Billy Bush doesn't drink?
I don't know. I mean, he's ordering an Arnold Palmer. I know that
on the radio.
Playing tennis.
Although, what time is it? It's 2 o'clock. Oh, hell, it's after 12 noon. You could drink.
You and I start at noon, always, every day.
Billy?
Hi.
What is your favorite alcoholic beverage?
Good question.
Yeah.
I like, Mostly beer.
Okay, but let's say you have to pick a well drink.
Oh, you know, then I'll go. If I'm gonna go and get my party on, I like to go with a Belvedere on the rocks with three lime wedges squeezed in there tight. It's almost like a limeade in a way.
My man, that is a good choice.
And if you go beer, what brand of beer?
Rob's wheelhouse.
I don't really care. I mean, a light beer. Coors Light, Bud Light.
Mm.
Oh, that's a loser with you, huh, Rob?
That's a good beer.
Rob likes Beck's Light.
See, that's
Beck's.
Belvedere's good vodka.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Beck's Light is an outstanding beer.
Beck's Light.
I like it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you really drink,
it's Belvedere.
Belvedere
on the rocks with three lime wedges squeezed in there nice.
On a good night. On a night when you're really going to let your pointy hair down, how many of those do you have? How many would you knock back there at the NBC commissary?
And anywhere between 2 and 12.
2 and 12?
I got him beaten by like 10 on his talk.
tonight on Access Hollywood,
yes.
J-Lo. She sucked on the Grammys, right, Mike? I didn't see it. You saw it. She sucked.
I will tell you, I'm not a professional singer, but as an audience member, she, and I'm not talking about her dress.
Mike,
she
hold
was
on.
Flat.
You are a professional singer.
You
please
are.
Don't
really.
Say that.
Thank you, Don. She was flatting on a lot of the notes, and she was not. I mean, he has perfect pitch. She does not. And, I mean, I really noticed it, and I think anybody that was there, especially in that audience of, professional talent, they noticed it, too. I didn't think she was singing well.
All right, so what is your story tonight, Billy, about Jennifer Lopez?
Well, she's ill, and she can't travel with the rest of her cast to London, where they're premiering Shall We Dance. These premieres, they go on and on, you see, all over the world. But she's ill, and we have the story on why she's ill and what's happened to her.
It's nothing feminine, is it?
Is it a baby?
No.
Is it a feminine-related problem, though?
If it'll help you watch, I'll say yes.
Okay, so it is something. Is yeast involved?
Stop it.
I'm just, just asking. all right. Now I'll watch Access Hollywood tonight.
The only way you'll know.
To know about
get
J-Lo.
Swollen glands, and from there, you'll have to watch.
Swollen glands.
All right, Billy, have a good Arnold Palmer at your tennis club. We'll talk to you tomorrow, dude.
Thank you.
All right. This is Billy Bush.
Yeah. I'm going to hit tennis balls, guys, and drinking an Arnold Palmer.
Unbelievable.
Lottery winner. Regis. Regis.
Well, we've got a guy that comes in and does my hair, guys.
Well, he's a TV guy.
I got to tell you about... when we were watching Hitch over the weekend, Fred and I would see the Will Smith movie.
Right. Gene Shalit loves it.
One of the ads that they ran was out on DVD, that piece of crap, Shall We Dance with Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yes.
Which I guess Billy is saying is being released in Europe.
Right.
Frida, for some reason, got very mad at the beginning of the ad for this movie. And I didn't track with her at first. Because here's how they set it up. They said, from the studio that brought you Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaned over. She said to me, boy, that pisses me off. I said, why? They're just trying to slap anything successful on with this. But
right.
She said, it has one to do with the other. I said, but there's a lot of people who are going to think, oh, if this is by the people that made Chicago,
right.
Maybe we'll go see. Anyway, she got very upset about that.
You get a real crappy, studio if you have to go back to, it's the Wizard of Oz or something. From the studio that brought you It's a Wonderful Life. And then he got problems.
And then, with a guy like me, I know I'm not the target audience for Chicago or Shall We Dance.
Right.
But it's to me, it's like saying, hey, listen, if you didn't want to see Chicago, man, they're talking, directly to... Hold on, where's my sing? I got so many of them. Hold on there.
Don Geronimo.
Don't go see Shall We Dance.
Right. So for you, it's a warning.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, it's a warning.
Right.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Wasn't Shall We Dance in the theaters for like half an hour?
Yes.
About that. Yeah. Terrible. Disastrous movie, I think.
Mm-hmm. With Susan Sarandon as well.
Really?
Who I saw interviewed recently. I think it's Susan Sarandon. I don't know. Some actress who still looks good.
She's
for her age.
Fabulous.
Mike, she is. She is.
She is.
I saw her interviewed recently.
She looks awesome for 50.
And they were saying to her, is it true that Playboy's offered you like $2 million? And she said, yeah. And she said, yeah, they're spectacular. And they still look great. But that her kids with hippie Tim Robbins,
right,
are now like 14 and 15.
They're not technically married, right?
So no, they're like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, right. That free love thing.
Yep.
Anyway, she said it would flip out her kids.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise, she would do it.
Who can blame her?
She does look good, but she often looks surprised.
No, I see. She made a big, big deal about saying she has not had any work done.
Yeah, I know, and those eyes.
Rob, she's not cross-eyed.
No, I'm not saying they're cross. They're just a little bulgy, that's all.
Oh, you mean with her... Now, when you say surprised, I think you're making a plastic surgery reference.
Yeah, no.
Because the eyebrows are elevated.
Because she got, what, the Marty Feldman eyes?
Yeah, and I think...
She's got the raccoon eyes.
And I think someday they're going to fall out.
Or are they bedroom eyes?
Yeah, I think she's... You know, a lot of people would say...
She's got the best body of any woman Raquel Welch, maybe.
You go back to the movie Bull Durham and find a sexier woman.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Sexier, more surprised woman.
You don't like her eyes.
No, she creeps me out. She got the weird eyes.
You know why I can't stand Bull Durham? Every time it's on and I get into it, Arliss comes on.
Oh yes, Robert Wall, who almost single-handedly ruins the movie.
It's like I'll be sitting there going,
he's so bad.
Okay, good choice, Cinemax. I've not seen Bull Durham.
Right.
This is great. Look at Tim Robbins is going in the slump, and then all of a sudden...
The manager is great. But right. The assistant manager played by Robert Wall.
Everybody is great in that movie except for Arliss.
That's right. It's such a good movie. He does to Bull Durham what Liza Minnelli did to Arthur.
Yeah, almost.
Wow. Almost.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tough one.
That's hard.
Who was you know what? I would have to say.
I mean, you could probably make a list of movies where one particular character was so bad that they almost ruined a great movie.
I think Robert Wool probably could have played Liza Minnelli's role in Arthur and pulled it off better.
Yeah, interchangeable.
And correct, in the movie Bull Durham.
Yeah. It worked. Just have like a druggy female third base coach in Bull Durham.
This TV show, Joey, which of course we all love and watch because it's just
hilarious. Yeah.
The funniest.
Oh, we're sorry. What night is that that we watch it?
Every Thursday night?
Thursday night.
You're right. Well, they're in trouble. I mean, they're in deep doo-doo because ain't nobody watching. And, like, they're putting on reruns of Home Improvement that it's getting beaten by.
They'll keep the string going.
So here we go now as a way, that I believe, to start up some publicity for the show, get some buzz going, they say in the industry. Drea...
DeMatteo. Horrible name.
The girl from The Sopranos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who's Joey's sister on the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's now saying she's not gay, but she's bi.
Ah.
And she's had quite a few, as she calls them, in the British Daily Sport newspaper, I've had lesbian romps.
Ooh.
Hey.
I love men. I love being with men. But every now and then, well, let me just say, I can't say that I've never been with a woman.
Do you know what's interesting about that? Drea DeMatteo, to me, looks like she could be the sister of Portia de Rossi.
Yeah.
Oh, the girl that's Ellen DeGeneres'
wife.
Yeah,
you see pictures of those two, and I get them confused all the time because they look so similar.
And then Drea Medeo, when I watched, 2 seconds of Joey, I remember her from The Sopranos. I don't think she's got the hottest body.
No.
They put her in those push-up bras that are supposed to really accentuate what's happening there.
Yeah, right.
And you know that's a gigantic fake-out.
Too much.
She's excessively hot in person, though.
She is? Really?
Oh, that's right, because you saw her when you went up to The Sopranos.
Twice I've met her, and she's just, wow.
And wouldn't it be safe to say, as far as getting whacked, that's one of the best hits on The Sopranos?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Classic.
Yes. It's
because of the long lead-up to it.
Trivia question, who whacks her?
Oh, who killed her?
Was Silvio?
Silvio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Christopher knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher was, they were all in on it.
Yeah, and Tony set the whole thing up.
Do you think she had any romps with any of the other women on The Sopranos?
Probably only with
them. Why don't you shut your mouth?
Oh, for you.
Only with a grandma.
That's right.
Hello, Olivia. Yeah. Don and Mike. Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill.
I just wanted to tell Mike that not only does Susan Sarandon look hot for 50, but how about the fact that she's 58 and will be 59 this year?
Is she really 58? You know,
yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you, and she is still as hot as she ever was.
Absolutely. October 4th, 1946, it says her birthday is.
Jesus
58,
Christ.
58, man. She is awesome.
She's had nothing done to her.
Nope.
Amazing.
I bet she's had a lot of stuff done to her.
Done.
But I have...
Hello?
You tell that boy of yours to get his mind out of the gutter.
Hello, Bill. Don and Mike's show. Bill.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, correct. That's right. Who wouldn't want to throw toast at her?
Oh, man. We're the little boss sang that song, Touch Me, or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Who's your daddy? Hey, you guys rock.
Shut up. Could you throw a few more cliches in there? Who's your daddy? You guys rock. And fuego.
I still can't get by. Drea, get back to bed.
Now. I think a couple of days ago on the Buzz the News show, Buzz mentioned this thing that I saw on ESPN where the guy asked the woman to marry him at the Orlando Magic game,
right.
And she walks out. As it turns out, it's a hoax.
Oh.
And it's a hoax that's been put on by the NBA.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, this is real dumb.
I don't like that.
Let me see. The league says it was a marketing ploy to spice up the NBA experience. And incidentally, in case you didn't know, and I didn't, they say they did the same thing last year at a Washington Wizards game. The thing is,
nobody was there.
The thing is, no one was there and nobody saw it. It's a hoax. And the NBA's in on it. I don't get how that
Well,
makes,
I hope somebody gets to the bottom of that because I think that's stupid.
I don't know how that makes people interested in the NBA.
No.
But it's a hoax.
Well, other than getting it on all those newscasts like they did yesterday.
Hello, Mark. Here's a guy named Mark. Don and Mike show. Hello. Mark?
Hey. Yes.
Yes, what? What, Mark? You're on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark, what can we do for you, Mark?
Well, I got married 15 years ago on the radio station, and a friend of mine told me that he heard it on there.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Is your friend helping you through this conversation right now?
No, that's my wife. My background.
Oh, that's your wife.
Mark, are you under the influence of anything right now?
No.
Okay, so you got married on our show how long ago?
15 years ago.
Are you still married to the same woman?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Don, you played the tape of wedding, that wedding that we did,
the mass wedding.
Was that the one where the reception was at Roy Rogers?
Correct, and guests were from 7-Eleven.
That's right. Yeah. How you doing now?
I find it hard to believe that we didn't maintain close contact through these 15 years.
Yeah, well, we'll happily marry still.
Oh. Really? And why everything, not? Everything gone smoothly in the marriage? No bumps in the road, like maybe
in the head?
Some sort of car accident?
No, nothing.
Uh-huh.
Have either you or your spouse put on significant weight?
Well, of course.
Yeah, of course.
A little bit.
If you could just answer this question, when did you have the accident?
Didn't have no accident. What are you talking about?
Didn't have no accident.
Yeah.
So you're so no children?
We have two children, 13-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old boy.
How are they doing in school?
Very good.
Good.
Good to know.
Well, the apple does fall far from the tree.
Public schools or anything special?
Yes. Public schools.
Are you going for special? Seeing, just checking.
Okay. Get off his kids. I think it's him.
Okay, but I just have
public
one,
schools.
I just have one more question about the kids.
Uh-huh.
Can you give me, based on your experience with your children, what's the correct number of fingers and toes for a child?
What do you mean?
Exactly.
When you look at their fingers, any webbing?
How many?
Well, actually, they got a little bit of webbing.
Uh-huh.
That's just
I see. Very good. They got a little bit of webbing. Yeah. They got some webbing.
Everything's going well in your life, though?
Definitely.
Okay.
All right.
Any lead-based paint in the home?
No.
How about when you were a young man? Were you ever around paint sites? Was your dad a painter, maybe?
No. I'm a contractor, as a matter of fact.
You're a contractor, not working today?
Yes, well, I was. I'm not working now.
What kind of work do you do? What kind of contractor?
I do interior trim for builders.
You're around asbestos at all?
No. Huh. New construction.
When you say interior trim, you mean you're a painter?
No.
Or do you mean you're getting some on the side?
This guy? What are you trimming? Do the carpentry?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Tell me something. 15 years ago when we had you on the show, did we actually spend this much time speaking to you?
Not really. No.
And I imagine 15 years
ago. We were there at 7 in the morning getting married.
Yeah. And 15 years ago, we probably...
I think you guys were getting dipped and chopped, that day, too. It was a busy morning.
We did not have the chance to make your acquaintance 15 years ago.
But you are still happily married after 15 years. Is that right, Mark?
Correct.
How do you think this call has gone so far?
It's going well.
Yeah. What are you doing tonight?
Nothing.
Picking them and eating them. Okay. Well, yeah. Good talking to you.
Thanks so
not
much,
not
Mark.
Really. I'm lying.
Happy trimming.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, then. You remember that time we did the all-retard wedding?
It was delightful, wasn't it?
They can be happy in marriage, too.
They have every right.
Bob, Don, and Mike show. Hi, Bob.
Hey, the Dre Di Matteo, it's only implied that she got whacked. I think she's coming back. She's going to whack Tony in the final season.
Hold on. You know,
I mean, they don't show the bullet going into her body.
It's been so long, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, technically they didn't.
They didn't show a Ralphie. You know, they cut off her hands and her head.
She's going to come back with the Russian from the Pine Barrens episode, right?
Oh, you remember that one.
That's like the worst Sopranos episode.
Hello, Ben, Don and Mike show, Ben.
Yes. Sophia Loren is much better looking than Susan Sarandon.
Are you talking in the day? So you take them both at their A game?
For a 50-plus-year-old.
You know what? I'll tell you, at 58, though,
not me.
I think I'd go with Susan Sarandon. Sophia Loren's got to be 70 now.
I've seen... Well, yeah. You can go back to Sophia Loren in the grumpy old farce movie, right?
Old
yeah,
man.
I mean...
But Sophia Loren in her day.
But I gave that guy this choice.
Yeah.
In her day. In her day,
I'd take Sophia Loren over Susan Sarandon.
I would, too.
I wouldn't, and there's two reasons I wouldn't.
Why?
I have to tell you what the two reasons are that I would take Susan Sarandon over.
No, but Sophia Loren probably bigger, Susan Sarandon.
You say probably. I have heard. What am I saying? I've heard.
Jim Robbins told me.
No. Susan Sarandon.
Peter Sellers and I had a conversation.
Susan Sarandon has the best ever in the history of Hollywood. The best ever.
That's enough.
They are untouchable. Unreachable.
Here's the deal. You've seen more of Susan Sarandon's than you have of Sophia Loren's, but there's the one picture of Sophia Loren. Isn't she like getting into a boat or something? Yeah. And she's been in the water.
Maybe I can win this argument on this point.
Okay.
Isn't Sophia Loren European?
Yes, she is, Don.
Okay.
Okay, touche.
Thank you.
You know who could
bring out the red, white, and blue card?
Thank you.
You know who could settle this, but unfortunately he's passed, is Walter Matthau.
He's been with both ladies.
Hello, Ian?
Dolomite.
Lamb? Ophelia. Ian? I don't know. What?
How come you guys don't have fat people clothes on their website? I tried to buy from you. You do an excellent job of whoring it out, but all I can fit in is a hat.
Oh, you can fit. I think we have clothes.
You know, we don't have fat people clothes?
Well, you have a 2X, and I need a 3X. I mean, I'd be more than happy to pay the extra charge.
All right, send the webmaster send our website a note. I'm sure that we'll get 3X out
of it. If that, in fact, is true, that's really sad because I can't fit in the hat.
Hello, Steve. Don and Mike show. Steve?
Gentlemen, listen, Susan Sarandon, she is in one of the hottest girl-on-girl sex scenes in mainstream movies ever. It's Susan Sarandon.
It's like Mr. Skin.
It's Susan Sarandon and Catherine Deneuve in Hunger. If you have not seen that scene, you are missing out, my friend.
My friend.
Okay.
That's always like the perv greeting. My friend.
Right. That's right, my friend.
At the Skin Laboratories. The Skin Laboratories. Get out of here.
He'd be into this conversation.
Thank you, my friend. Susan Sarandon. Oh, hold on a second. We got the good ideas coming up next.
Yes.
And really, this time may be a good idea.
Wow.
One real quick feel good, and I'll dedicate this to Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Okay.
From South Bend, Indiana. There's a 79-year-old woman. She's in her house. The cops hear that there's some kind of problem in her house. Mm-hmm. They show up. She's 79. They say, ma'am, please come out and let's talk about the noises we've heard. She pulls out her cane, and she beats these two cops. I mean, She hits the one guy in the head with the cane and knocks him down. The other cop, while seeing that it's a 79-year-old woman,
right,
doesn't draw his weapon, attempts to go over and tackle her. She takes out his knees.
Wow.
With the cane. She's like Matrix-like with this cane.
Wow.
Yes. Let me see.
Suspended in air.
The woman was very argumentative and told the officers to leave. Mm-hmm. They reported that they said, we want to look and we want to see what's going on. She then attacked the officers. They ended up calling.
What was she argumentative about? What
she didn't want to let him into the house. All because right. There was a problem, something to do with the husband, the ex-husband. She didn't, and it wasn't even a house, it was a trailer.
You come in here, you're gonna get it. You're gonna get an ass whooping.
Anyway, she beat these two cops down, and they had to call a SWAT team to come in and take out the 79-year-old woman.
Oh, my God.
And here's what you didn't know, as Paul Harvey would say.
The rest of the story?
The woman's name?
Yeah.
Sophia Loren. Wow.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I like that story.
Okay, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Why do you use lemons?
The fish smell, I'm embarrassed.
Oh. I thought maybe it was for some other reasons that I didn't understand. I even went to a supermarket to look at lemons.
It's just to get the smell off. It's
the intruder. Weird.
What do you do when you watch me?
I look at you. You take off your blouse.
Yeah, I see fish.
Then you take a bottle of gold perfume and you put it on the sink. Then you slice the lemons.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon.
The lemon.
What's his name? Tough guy.
Tough guy. Brent Lancaster.
That's it.
They paint the whatnot. Don and Mike.
We do. Here we go in Dallas, Texas, live 105. We're like in the middle of the night. Houston, Texas, live 2 to 6 every day. K-I-K-K. How about Las Vegas? Spike Radio, 1140. Whatever that means, radio for guys. And Washington, you know, we don't give a slug, a plug slug to WJFK, 106.7. Home of the Redskins, and really, really great remote broadcast.
Yeah, and lots of fun things going on each and every day. You never know. Hey, tune in next week. Could be a different lineup.
Home of everything that's great, WJFK. Oh, I know what it's time for. It's time for really great ideas.
All right.
Good. Now, the last couple of times we've done this, there was the guy, the first guy was...
The 90s Club.
And he's supposed to be calling back, like, that was a month ago.
That was
this month.
At the end of this month. I gave him a 30-day window that I thought his business would fold.
He said he'd like call you with vital, you know, facts down, spreadsheets, letting you know how much money they're making.
Then the next guy that we had on was...
Rent Your Own Posse.
Yeah, now that I gave him 6 months.
6 months, that's the guy where you can, you know, go out with a group of people and get into clubs and stuff.
Right? Now, I don't think that either of those other ideas are good ideas. That's why the feature is called Good Ideas.
Good Ideas, right.
However, this one may be an actual good idea.
Yes.
And Buzz had it on his news show a couple of days ago.
Ah.
Naked karaoke.
Yeah.
Guy tried it in Connecticut, Mike's home state.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was going to mention to you, this is, I'm familiar with where this area is because of the
Berlin.
Fact that, yeah, Berlin Turnpike is just south of Hartford, and we used to have the Berlin Drive-In.
Did you ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you ever?
No, I don't think so, Don. It was that high school, you know.
Oh,
you
that
go
was,
back with me, I was a late bloomer, really. Yeah.
Well, it's in the Berlin Station Cafe in Berlin, Connecticut, right by Hartford, south of Hartford. Naked karaoke.
Uh-huh.
The guy came up with the idea.
They can't believe in that area he's able to get away with it.
They said, you can't do it. He sued the city, and he won. So, he had naked karaoke Saturday night, Valentine's weekend night.
Mm-hmm.
Two people.
That's typical.
Two people.
That's the way it goes.
So, now,
great idea, and then all of a sudden, when it gets crunch time, nobody wants to participate.
The question is this really a great idea?
Hmm.
Will I bet our valuable radio time, and Mike, you be on this with me, as always, will we bet our valuable radio time in a future commercial for this guy that this business will, in fact, take off, or is this another suck idea where in a month, 3 months, we'll be able to call the guy back and tell him to pound sand?
This, my prediction is, I think this will be a boon for his business. I think, you know, based on just the publicity alone, it's incredible.
I want one of these great ideas to work.
I know.
I desperately want it. I like the concept.
I feel like a soft touch on these great ideas, because with every idea, I've been more and more enthusiastic. I was sort of okay with the 90s club.
Yeah.
Based on Rob saying he thought it might work, and then the, you know, the bring your posse to different clubs, I was all for that idea. And wasn't she charming?
She was.
Yeah, what do you want?
That alone's good for business.
Yeah, right.
I hope she was naked. She sounded sexy.
I'd like another cigarette, please.
Sexy.
Berlin Station Cafe.
We're going to speak to Marty St. Pierre.
Hello.
Hello. Marty St. Pierre?
Yes, sir.
Don and Mike Radio Show. How are you,
How
sir?
Are you, Marty?
Good, guys. Good.
Welcome to the segment on our show called Really Good Ideas. Now, your idea for naked karaoke.
Yep.
You debuted it on Saturday night in suburban Hartford. Can you tell us? I think we mentioned you had two people. What?
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was it a success in your mind?
Absolutely a success.
Good. Why is that, Marty?
Because we had karaoke for 15 years. Saturday night we had naked karaoke, and two people sang karaoke naked.
Wow. And now what, your usual crowd, Marty, on Saturday night, what is that?
Clothed.
Clothed? Okay. Yeah, your usual, I'm talking about numbers, Marty. Were you just wall-to-wall that night?
We were absolutely, in actuality, the people were way over my capacity. I felt sad. Some of them had to stand outside in the cold.
Wow.
I built a couple fires for them in fire pits, but it was an unbelievable response.
And you had two people, the people that got up and did naked karaoke, pleased to be assigning them a grade on their body. I don't care how they sang.
Yeah, not their singing ability, but the way they looked.
Were they fat, skinny, pretty, ugly?
The number value that we used was their age, and they were 40 with children.
Was it a man and a woman?
Yes, it was.
Are you still planning on doing naked karaoke?
Well, not only are we going to do it again, I'm sure, probably on a monthly basis, but the next one we will webcast for all of those people that couldn't come in.
Oh, God.
Oh, what did the fat 40-year-old sing?
They both sang a duet, and they sang The Fire Down Below.
Of course they did. Of course they
now,
did.
Now, Marty, it said you had 120 people sign up for this. What, did people just chicken out at the last minute? Is that the way it happened?
That's exactly what happened. It was 120 on the original list. Mm-hmm. And that the night's list, I did a walk around, and I ended up with 12 or 13 on the list. Again, I didn't believe anybody was going to do it, but this couple saved me.
Do you think because you've done it once that now you might be able to get a better turnout?
I think the turnout to sing naked will be much better because someone's pioneered it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're the pioneer, Marty.
All right, Mike, I'm ready to render at least my part of the decision.
Okay, I say that this thing is going to, it's got legs. He's already sued to get the right to do it. Naked karaoke, he will be known for it, and he will be, we're deciding whether you're going to be successful with this, Marty, and I say it's a slam dunk, Marty will be successful with this.
I hope you're right.
I hate to play the form.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Your idea is a failure.
You don't think it's going to succeed?
I like the idea. I cannot imagine that the local community will support this, even though you've sued for this. Let's face it, you got a lot of publicity.
How much time are you going to give Marty to prove you wrong here? You got to give him at least 6 months.
I was going to give him 90 days.
Well, he's only going to do it on a monthly basis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, then 6 months. 6 months from now, you will either have your place fire burned by the community, or you won't get enough people showing up, or it'll just be the same fat couple every week.
Marty, what part are you off Berlin Turnpike?
I am off the Berlin Turnpike by about a mile and a half.
About a mile and a half. So you're kind of in a bedroom community back there, right?
That's exactly right.
Now, Marty, please understand, Marty, that this is a good idea. I just don't think it's right. And what I'm willing to offer here is we're giving you publicity now. If I'm wrong in 6 months, if you come back on the show and say, It's going through the roof. We're franchising. You get a free 5-minute commercial if you're still in business.
I understand.
But keep in mind, it's just got to be the naked karaoke part of the business.
Yes, right. Yes. I mean, well, of course.
I think the wager should be that if I am successful, you'll have to do it.
Yeah. All right, go to the website, take a look at my picture, and then decide, my friend, okay?
And speaking of website, do let us know when you're doing the webcast.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
As soon as I have it signed up, yes, absolutely right. Absolutely, I'll let you know.
We'll link it.
All right, so I vote right now that this good idea is doomed. It stinks. Mm.
And I say because he has already fought City Hall and won, and he can do it. That's the that's the biggest hurdle. Why not continue to do it?
Yeah, this idea will grow hair.
Now, let me rate these against the other ideas that I thought would stink. All the 90s Club, and the other one was the Posse. Still, this has the least potential of all three.
This particular idea?
Even though I'm very fond of the idea. I love nudity. I love karaoke.
You know, I'm disagreeing with you on a lot of these. We've got to have some sort of, like... We got to start wagering on.
You know what it is? It's what my wife said. I'm just too goddamn negative.
Yeah, that's exactly what I am.
I'm so negative.
And I think Marty's going to hit a home run with this. Marty, what do you think, honestly?
Honestly, I think it will continue for a long time on our once a month Saturday night to get naked. We're thinking of doing senior citizen naked karaoke.
Yeah, see? Yeah,
like that, right. Yeah. See, that's you know
great
what?
Great idea.
That's like if you could say. We're going to be, tonight we're going on a tour of some really great car wrecks. Yeah. You'd like to see, like, decapitated people with their arms going through the steering column.
People do, Don. They slow down for car wrecks.
I know they do.
And they have a beer if they got one, you know.
Absolutely. All right, Marty St. Pierre. The place is Berlin Station Cafe. It's outside Hartford, Connecticut. And, you know, I hope you don't have a lot of your dough tied up in the naked karaoke part. I hope it's just a whim and you can still sell sandwiches or whatever it is that you sell.
We'll find out.
And, of course, since it is naked karaoke, if it is a failure, Marty will be left holding the bag. That's just a little naked karaoke humor, Marty.
Marty, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, we need you. Hold?
Yeah, I'll
good
hold
luck.
You.
All right, hold on.
Marty,
hold on,
thanks
please.
A lot. Good luck to you.
I'll hold.
Hang on.
Okay. That idea sucks. That idea. Listen,
you are so negative.
Don't get me wrong. I like the thought of naked karaoke.
I know.
I just can't see that being a business that works.
Yeah. You mean if he was going to do it every night, I'd say you're absolutely right.
Once a month, he's going to get the same, you know, the same fat pigs.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, get a following for it, and people just
show up. No, it'll be like in Frederick. It'll be like where, you know, the local thought police get involved.
You know, people in naked nudity, you know.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to fly.
I'd love to see the neighborhood. I'd like to see where, if it's where I think it is, I'm amazed.
You know,
that he fought City Hall and won.
We've got a correspondent in the area.
Send my mom out? That's a great idea.
We've never utilized the talents of Mary O'Mara.
Yeah, that is a really terrific idea. I'll send her out to the next one.
They're having a senior night.
Senior night. Yeah, even better, Buzz. Even better.
Uh-huh. Can you imagine Mike's mom? Now, that's a phone call I'd love to hear.
You know, you too.
Hi, Mommy.
You know how I go down to the parking lot every night and I get down there first?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tonight I'm waiting for both of you.
Okay.
That's all there is to it. Yeah.
That's
like John L. Sullivan with my Dukes up in the air.
I picture that call. You know, it's because you call your mom all the time after the show, right?
Yes, absolutely.
On the way home, you know, call mom, you know. Hi, Michael. Hi, Mom. How'd the show go? How are the girls? Oh, everything's great. Hey, Mom. Have you heard about this club in Connecticut?
Mom, listen, before you go to Mass next month, I'd like you to go over and check out the naked karaoke. No problem at all.
Hello. Yes, of course, dear. Hello, Rob. Don Mike's show. Rob.
Yes, Mike.
Yes.
I was wondering if we could do co-ed naked karaoke at your Hank's Look Around Cafe.
You're always going to have a heavy lighting
for you.
You
know, seriously, after talking
Hank's
to
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I'm very, very serious. After talking to that guy?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Huh. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, that decision's already been made.
That's like your go-to.
Yes,
I love that about
only
you.
Only with things like that. Hey, what a great idea. We were just talking to him.
No.
No.
Mike, you might remember it was 24 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this show.
Right.
Doing yesterday's show.
Right.
But
yes.
It is the same time.
Right.
We got done with the phone scan.
Uh-huh.
But that wasn't too great.
Yeah.
We said we could either continue the phone scan or we could go with what we know is a killer bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that killer bit is now coming back.
Oh, dear God.
That's right. I love your enthusiasm.
It's a better time for it, though.
Because I'm telling you, unlike Naked Karaoke, unlike the 90s club,
right,
unlike the Get Yourself a Posse, this is a good idea.
It's not just a good idea, Don. It's a no-lose idea.
Could we do Naked Honk for Cash?
Anybody can do it any way they want.
That's right.
Honk for Cash.
Ah.
Don't be afraid, guys. Here's how you play the game.
All right.
I could be like Bernie Mac now. Listen to me, America. I love it. I love when Bernie Mac speaks to America. America, you got to understand. America. America, are you ready to play Honk for Cash?
You going to explain the rules?
It's very simple.
There's really no point.
Toot for loot. If you're in your car right now, pull up to a stoplight that has a left-hand turn arrow indicating only one lane can make a left-hand turn when the light is green and the arrow is green.
Did you hear that?
What?
That was the sound of it going in one ear and coming out the other.
Now, you're in line. You say, hi, Don and Mike, I'm here at this whatever intersection I'm at. The light changes.
Right.
30 seconds goes by, and in the middle of rush hour commuter traffic, you do not move.
People go bananas with the honks.
You sit there for 30 seconds.
Yes. Quietly.
You don't say anything.
Right.
That's an important part of the rules. And then we pay you $1 for each honk that we hear from another commuter that's upset that you're not moving.
Thank you for paying attention. No cheating.
Now, listen, all of you negative Nellies out there.
Yeah, I'm being too negative. Skeptics.
That's right. Go out and get the, what's the pills your kid was eating?
Zoloft.
Go get yourself some Zoloft.
Yeah, absolutely.
And come back with a better attitude for this next segment, okay?
I promise I will.
Okay, it's Honk for Cash.
It's going to work. This light's going to turn green in about 15 seconds.
877-365-3636.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, right.
This is going to be a really good one. I'm not kidding you this time.
Warn Beth Ann. I think since, Beth Ann, since you've been our producer about 8 months, we've only done this once, right?
Twice.
She counted twice.
And was it the last time that you called in and tried to?
And I said you had it in the parking lot. And I said the rules of the parking lot are not the same rules
right,
as on the road.
Right here, I want you to take this in the spirit in which I'm giving it. Don't call during the next segment. Like, don't call in the middle of the segment to say it would be better if it went another way. Because it's going to be perfect this time.
That's okay. Right.
You're gonna laugh. You're going to be laughing. You're going to be laughing. You're going to be loving it. You're going to be eating your words.
Okay.
Because you don't like this bit, do you?
It's not my favorite.
It's not your favorite.
Dang.
Why is it not your favorite?
Because they never understand the game.
They.
Don't talk down to our listeners like that. They.
How did you know I was talking about the listeners?
They.
Don't try to find fault in perfection.
I'm telling you, Beth Ann.
Yeah.
This is a brilliant idea.
Okay.
This next bit, Beth Ann, this next bit will make the Sistine Chapel seem flawed.
Do not make me get in my car and prove how to play this game. I've done it before.
You'll do it again.
I've gone to my car and done it. I'm not going to today.
Okay.
You know, nobody comes up to Christo and says, put them near the Bronx Zoo. Put those little flags in the Bronx Zoo. Don't put them in Central Park.
Now, that's a bad idea. Now, that's a bad idea.
It's odd.
And you're telling me it takes 250 goddamn years to figure out that you're going to hang some dirty linens on 2x4s in Central Park?
An orange down there. Or nothing.
That's what I say. Nothing.
Yes.
Screw them. All right, Honk for Cash, coming up, Beth Ann.
Okay.
Brace yourself.
Get ready for radio excellence.
Everybody listen while we make art.
Call now, phone Jeopardy.
Why am I alone on this island?
We are going to do it. You're not alone. I'm with you this time.
No, trust me. I'm alone on this island.
You know what? I really do believe.
Come on, now, really.
That I'm going to tell a lie now. This bit will work.
I want to believe.
I want to believe, too. Because especially yesterday, since I since I prevented us from doing it.
You're going to be talking out of the other side of your mouth. We give away upwards of $6 or $7. when we come back. Thank you, Beth Ann.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We'll be right back. Yes, Honk for Cash.
Ah,
goddamn right. Honk for Cash. Cheaters, yeah. Stay away.
Turn the music off.
Stay away. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And the future of rock.
and roll.
Ray, 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 enough already.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, Ray.
It is ridiculous locus. The Don and Mike Show.
Stolen by a British disc jockey. It's called Honk for Cash.
That British disc jockey's name was Joe Krebs.
In the UK, they call it Suit for Loot.
Yeah.
And we call it Honk for Cash.
Yep, we do.
It's the perfect game for angry commuters to win big bucks at the expense of their fellow 3 to 7 p.m. East Coast time drivers.
Yes, right. But we do ask that once you put your phone out the window, you do maintain radio silence for at least 30 seconds.
And here we go. Let's start some Honk for Cash fun. Here's Kay. Hello, Kay.
Kay.
Kay?
No, it's May. May.
May.
May.
May.
May. Sorry about that. May.
Yeah.
May, rather than find out where you're from and all of that stuff, are you at a light right now?
Yes, I am.
And is the light about to turn green, May?
I don't know how long it's going to take, right. But it's going to turn green soon.
This is the magic of this now, Kay. I got a good feeling about you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at a stoplight that has a left-hand turn exclusive lane?
Correct.
Right. And does it have a little arrow?
Yes, it does.
Now, May, when the light turns green, you're going to have to put your phone out outside the car window and say nothing for 30 seconds.
Correct.
Now, is there any way that people can get around you?
No.
How many people are behind you?
There's two cars at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Two at the moment.
Two at the moment.
Are you on a busy, active road?
Very.
Very. About how long do you think that light will take to turn green?
It's a very long light. Probably another minute and a half, something like that.
Minute and a half.
I'll come back.
Intersection.
I'll come back to you.
Thank you, May.
Quite a while.
I'll come back to you, May.
It's really a lifetime.
Here is Thor. Yeah. Hello, Thor.
Yes.
Thor. Thor, are you at a light right now?
I am pulled over about 1,000 feet away from one.
Well, Thor, that's not going to work. We're talking to you right now.
Well, and then I'm pulling up to the light right now.
All right, hold on.
Well, okay. Thank you, God of Thunder. Glad you just figured it out.
While you're doing that, let's go back to May.
Yeah.
May.
Is it turning green?
Not yet, but I'm waiting here.
Now,
there's about four cars behind me now.
All right, now, May, how's the cycle?
What do you mean?
I
don't think that's really relevant.
Hey, get your mind out of the gutter. The cycle of lights going around.
I think it's coming up real soon.
Huh.
Okay, it's up right now.
It's
right.
Green?
Okay.
Go.
30 seconds, go. Don't talk. Here we go. Now get ready. This is where it gets great. Because all the people who are behind May will be pissed.
Count the honk.
Listen. There's one, two, three.
What did I tell you? She's golden. Just please don't say anything. 17 seconds. She's still got time for plenty more honks. See, she's agitating the motorists behind her.
Yeah, that's how it works.
They're mad.
They're steamed.
They're pissed.
Because they're mad. That initial.
I think everybody's really like.
We're sorry.
Oh, May.
May, you jumped the gun there a little bit. 30 seconds was enough.
I mean, the light turned red again.
May,
so.
It doesn't matter. You're not allowed to talk for 30 seconds. And Mike, what was the cash bonanza?
Three.
That she threw away.
Three honks for May.
All right, bye, May.
Bye.
Thanks for trying.
And because May was the first, I may have been a little conservative.
Let's go back to Thor. Thor.
All right, I'm here.
Okay, you're at the light.
How long before it turns green, Thor?
I counted the cycle before. It's just clearing the east-west thing, so as soon as that is done cycling through, I'll be up.
What?
Give us a time estimate, Thor.
Probably 34 and a half seconds.
You think so? How's Submariner doing? How about the human torch?
Is that a Thor comment?
Well, that's a Marvel Golden Age of comics.
Thor was a comic book hero.
Yes, he was.
Well, first he was a thunder god.
Yes. A thunder god, yes.
Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you understand the game, sir?
Yes, I do, and I have about... I have two cars behind me and a cop behind that.
Oh, you have a cop behind you.
Now, that's a bonus.
Oh, he just pulled up. Oh, boy. All right.
And what city are you calling from?
Buffalo.
All right.
Buffalo? Chilly up there in Buffalo, Thor?
It's 30.
That's warm up there today in Buffalo by Buffalo standards. Right. What's the road you're on, Thor?
I'm on Hopkins. Hopkins Road is actually in a suburban. It's Amherst, Hopkins, and Sheridan.
Mm-hmm. All right, is there any...
It's changing right now.
Okay. All right, go. 30 seconds. Tell us when it changes, and then don't say a thing.
It changed.
All right. And the clock has started. This is true excitement, because now there's a police officer behind this guy.
You might hear a siren. That might be extra credit.
Mm-hmm. See, he should not be moving at all while the light is green.
One. Might have been Thor's own car.
We double check that. 20 seconds.
That would be the sound of maybe people passing Thor.
28. 29, and... Well, at least he didn't talk during the 30 seconds,
if
Mike.
If that was not Thor's own horn, he just got himself an American dollar.
Hey, Thor?
Yes.
Would you honk your horn for us, please?
I believe that was a sticker.
Now I'm a retard because I'm honking my own horn.
Yes. Like you were before.
Also, there's a risk involved here because it's illegal to talk on the cell phone in New York State.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I have a cop behind me.
Well, hold on. So, wait a minute. This is why I don't believe you. But you got a cop behind you.
No. There's two cars behind me and then the cop.
So the light turns green. You yep. don't move. You're holding a cell phone outside the window of the car.
What'd the yep. cop do? What did the cop do, Thor?
No, absolutely nothing. The guy behind me honked. Did you hear that?
I thought that was your horn.
Oh, no. Why would I honk?
To cheat.
To win a dollar?
Yeah, to get that $1.
A dollar, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now, Thor, this is honk for cash. You better lose the attitude.
All right, Thor. I'm going to count you a success.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're going to give it. Let's hear your horn one more time, Thor.
So I'm going to roll it. I'm going
to
roll it.
No, I'd like you to do it like kind of inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
No money for you, Thor.
Okay.
I'm sorry. See, and he offered no resistance.
Thor was getting angry, though.
The things people will do for a dollar.
Here's Leslie. Don and Mike show. Leslie.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, baby. Are you at the light right now?
Well, I'm at... I'm at a light.
No, okay, all right.
I wanted to get on Route 1. I figured more people would honk, but...
I think
let's be patient with young Leslie.
I don't think you're at the light. I don't think you're at the light right now. It's okay. You just don't want to... You don't want to get you put in the pile of people who just are waiting for the light.
Right.
No, you know what? It's all right, because I think a lot of people who want to turn onto Washington State will probably honk at me.
Uh-huh.
Now what she's doing is she's kind of giving out the word to anybody who might be listening to the show.
Please honk at me. Oh, the light's about to turn, Don and Mike, and I'm the second in line.
Okay, Leslie, I'm rooting for you.
Okay, here we go. Okay. The light turned, and I'm not moving.
All right, go.
Here we go.
But she'll talk before.
Here we go.
She will talk before.
Guarantee. She's going
sure
to she's gonna talk at her funeral.
One.
That was a strong one, Mike.
And there's a lot of wind here. I believe this is...
magic bit. 20 seconds.
Oh, come on. Don't talk before the 30 seconds, Leslie.
She's got 4. 3. She going to make it?
Come on,
30 seconds, no talk. And... she didn't talk. But
that's fantastic, and I hope that's not Leslie's own car.
Leslie?
No, it definitely wasn't my own
car. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Don and Mike.
What happened there, darling?
People went around me.
People went around you. Can we hear your honk, please?
Sure.
Leslie's a legitimate dollar winner.
That's right. Winner.
Leslie? She's won a dollar.
Leslie, do we look like anyone famous?
Thank you, Rob.
Who's the celebrity you think most resemble, Leslie?
I think I most resemble...
Yes?
Bridget Fonda, but I'm not quite as skinny.
Hello. Thank you. Bridget Fonda.
Can
thank
I just
you,
say,
thank
after,
you,
after
thank
that
you.
Amount of a weight... That's worth it.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
double her prize.
Yeah, Bridget. Yeah, you gonna give her an extra dollar?
You know what? Sure. Let's give her five from the. Let's give her $5 from the Jackie Brown bonus from anybody who's seen the movie Jackie Brown.
Absolutely.
Where she's Sam Jackson's girlfriend.
Oh yes, hello.
Five Fonda dollars.
Bridget Fonda.
All right, hold
very
on a second.
Good.
Here is let's see. Oh, Bill in Las Vegas. Bill.
No, it's Phil. But I'm at a red light right now, so it's gonna be a minute.
It's going to be a minute, Phil.
Yeah.
Joe, are you trying to F with me on these names?
Phil.
Or are you just stupid? You know how he spelled Leslie?
Oh.
L-E-S-L-Y.
Jesus.
Like when I say Bill and the guy says Phil, Joe writes on the screen B-I-L-L.
That's worth $25.
Leslie. L-E-S-L-Y. Hello, Jeff.
Jenny gave me $150.
Hello, Jeff.
Yes, hello.
Hi, welcome to Honk for Cash. Are you at a light?
I am at a light.
Beautiful. What's the light? What's the position?
It's actually about to turn green pretty soon, top of light I want to be at. I'll be at the light I want to be at in 1 minute.
Do not mock my enthusiasm.
Are you going to be using this light or not, Jeff?
I'll be at the light I want to use in about 1 minute.
No,
that doesn't work. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Honk for Cash. Who is this? Oh, that's a Brando line. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I'm at a light.
Turn your radio down.
I got it. It's down.
Okay. Well, what's your name?
My name's Jay.
Jay, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Beautiful. Oh. Sacramento loves this game. Sacramento kills at this game.
That's right. When's your light going to turn green?
It's going to be like a minute.
A minute?
Like a minute.
Yeah, so come back around.
Sacramento minute.
No. Jay?
I like it when people get the
vernacular. It's a long one. It's going to be a good one. I promise.
Jay, are you in a left-hand turn lane?
Yeah, it's a left-hand turn lane. And there's only one lane to turn left, and they can't go around.
And how many cars are in back of you, Jay?
I have four cars behind me right now.
Four cars. They look angry?
What's that?
Do they look angry?
Yeah, because it's a rainy day and everyone's driving like crap.
Are you from Sacramento proper, or would you happen to be from Chico, Folsom, Stockton, or Modesto,
or San Ramon?
I was born in Nebraska and moved out here.
Ah. Well, most people move to Sacramento.
Yeah, no. Well, no, Mike, I take that back. Normally, I am a champion of Sacramento. Yes. I believe there are more people trying to get out than get in.
Rob has actually studied the history of Sacramento.
It's part of the genetic makeup of Sacramentans. They hate it, and they must stay because they thrive on unhappiness.
Right, that's right. True. Jay, how you doing?
Jay?
What? The light just skipped me.
That's impossible, Jay.
There you go. Just like fifth grade. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Laura.
Oh, my God, Don and Mike, I just missed the cycle. Come back to me. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay.
How many times have you said that to a man?
I bet she's got a tan.
I just missed the cycle.
I bet she's been in the tanning bed all day.
Hello, Helen.
Oh, my God.
Helen?
Yes?
Don and Mike Show. Helen, hi. Welcome to Hauling for Cash. Helen, are you at a light?
You there?
Helen?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you out of light,
darling? I'm here. It's a stupid earphone. It's a piece of crap. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Are you out of light?
Hold on. I'll be there in one block. Yeah. One block.
Helen, who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Oh, God. You asked me this like 8 years ago.
All right. Forget about it.
Okay,
has it changed?
Hold on. We'll go back to Bill in Las Vegas. Bill.
She's 8 years.
It's green, but it's not an arrow. Okay, here it comes. It's turned green right now.
Who's this?
All right, go. Bill in Las Vegas.
Bill.
Here we go. He's at a stoplight now.
There's one.
He's at a stoplight. And he's not moving on purpose.
Ah, worthless.
And he's disqualified. No talking.
People don't respect this game.
You asked me that 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, screw you, Helen.
Let's go back. Hey, Helen's still here.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Helen?
Hi, Helen.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes, sir.
Are you at the
how
light?
How are you, my sweetie?
Are you at the light, darling?
It's red, and I have two cars in front of me.
It's red and angry. Okay, Helen?
Two cars in front of you.
Yes,
that'll work.
Helen, are there any cars behind you, my sweet?
Yeah.
Very nice. Now, do people have the opportunity to drive around you?
The light's green.
Okay.
Go, Helen.
Go.
All right.
Last chance. Don't speak.
She technically already did.
Let's give her a chance.
Wow.
That's a good one if that's real. Come on. I always root for the pistol.
Oh, I turn red again.
Oh,
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You blew your dollar.
Now the lady's beside me and she's...
What?
Fussing at me.
Who is?
A lady.
Some lady beside me is fussing at me.
Oh, really?
She's fussing at you?
Yes, F-U-S-S-I-N-G.
Giving me a nasty look.
Yeah. Really?
Well, fuss back at her.
Yeah, fuss back at her.
Roll your window down.
Hi.
No, roll your window down and tell her to pound sand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Don and Mike say pound sand.
Now flip her off.
No.
Flip her off.
No.
Hey, how about this? Is your window rolled down?
She's not looking at me.
Is your window rolled down? Helen?
Helen?
Yes.
Helen, is your window rolled down?
Yes.
Repeat after me. Look at her, okay? Top of your lungs. Say this, okay? Say.
Speak up a little bit, please.
All right. Say, step off.
Okay. No, I can't do that.
Say, step off, you old cow.
She's not looking at me.
How about this? Can you yell this? I'm self-serving. I care about Helen.
Helen?
Yes, sir.
Helen. You've disappointed me. Goodbye,
I'm
Helen.
I'm sorry.
I know you are. I know you are.
Just lean on your horn and go, cow says what?
I like what she says. It's red.
Okay, this is going to be it for Honk for Cash. If
no. Just remember on Honk for Cash, Don, no matter what happens, we'll always Hello. Have Leslie.
Hello, Doug.
Hey, how are you?
Are you at a light, sir?
Yes, I am.
Is it about to turn green, Doug?
Yes, it is. It's green right now.
All right, go.
Cheater.
Cheater. Cheater.
Yeah, come on. In parking lot.
Can I listen?
With friend.
We ain't stupid.
Moron, not even keeping score.
This is like my dream scenario.
No
what,
need.
What does he think? Do you think we're going to buy this?
Oh, he does, because Doug thinks we're stupid.
Where's Doug from? Where's area code 530? Hey, Doug.
Hello?
Oh, wow. Sounds like you are causing mayhem on the freeway.
Man, Doug, how many people, were in back of you?
It was just four, but it's just this one guy.
Christ!
Yeah.
That's the incredible. Best ever. I mean, I counted like 80, 90.
That's like the most money we might ever give away on Honk for Cash.
Wow. Doug, you're like the best.
Cool.
Awesome, Doug.
Man, that's fantastic.
Doug.
Where is he from again?
David.
Hey, Doug, how come it doesn't sound like you're moving now?
Huh?
I said, how come it doesn't sound like you're moving now?
Hey, listen.
Hey, that sounds like your car's in park and you're revving it.
Yeah, I pulled over.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a cheater.
You think we're stupid?
Think we're morons?
I mean, yes, we are, but we're not that dumb.
Uh-huh.
That's like your buddy or some friend of yours.
You think we didn't know that you got some booger-eating friend of yours behind you going, yeah, hey, get out of the way. And for what? To win like $8?
What do you take us for, Doug?
Radio DJs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're a moron,
Hold
Doug.
On, what was that comeback? I believe you said...
Yeah, well, Doug, you're the moron here because we knew you were lying all along.
Okay.
Now we're going to put you... Are we going to put him in the book?
Well, I don't know if we put him in the book.
I think that's only with phone scans, right?
I think maybe we do something worse with him. Mm-hmm. That maybe he's the first guy, unless we get a real true apology.
Right.
He'll be the first guy whose phone number we put up on our internet site, which is the Wild Wild West.
Absolutely.
You can do that on the internet legally. You can put a guy's phone number up.
I think that's perfect, unless, Doug, we get an apology from you.
I apologize, Don and Mike.
You sincerely apologize?
What do you apologize for, Doug?
For
screwing with the integrity. Repeat, screwing with the integrity.
Yeah, that's a good
screwing
idea.
Screwing with the integrity.
Of the greatest radio bit ever.
And the greatest radio bit ever.
Honk for Cash.
Honk for Cash.
And where is your mother from?
Toronto.
Very good.
All right, apology not accepted, but you won't go into the book.
Thank you. Good day.
Bye-bye. Good day. Oh, you know what? I tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed every second of it.
That tape sounded good.
Never disappointed.
That sounded good.
That's just, you know, that tape, after any other bit, would have been perfect. The tape reacted to the bit.
Now, watch this, little. I told you so, actually. I don't like doing this to people.
I know.
I really don't. Okay.
Don't make me say it.
Listen, don't make me say it. Don't tell me that you don't realize the genius of that bit.
You lucked out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's great.
It's not luck.
Thank you. It's skill.
And see that Leslie gets her $5.
Goodbye, Grasshopper.
Bye.
Remember, wax on, wax off. Oh, she hung up on me.
Yeah.
Oh, Buzz.
Yes.
Here we go. This is the part that pisses you off.
Yeah, I know.
I remember when a guy called earlier today,
oh, absolutely.
Right?
This is a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden.
They're votes in.
One
I hate
man
that.
Found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
Oh, he hates it, Mike. Don't you know that?
Oh, I know. He hates it every day.
Mike, who's our big winner on Hunt for Cash again?
Well, I'd like to thank Doug, Jay, Jeff, Helen.
Helen!
Thor, Phil,
Thor,
May. Bill, but the big winner was Bridget Fonda looking like Leslie.
Yeah.
With a bonus of $5, even though she got one honk.
Yeah.
All right.
Buzz, what's your lead story on the news and comments tonight?
Who's pointing lasers at pilots? Terrorists? Or gay men at nightclubs?
Oh, homo news.
Hello.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, everybody.
For news and comment. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That tape sounded good, too.
The Intruder.
Yeah. That was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. It's the wrong radio show in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
With the wrong host.
Thank you.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Time for Buzz's News Now, brought to you by Hero Max.
Someone called for a doctor?
Doctor, you got a clinically tested Hero Max number one because it really works. Call 1-888-TRAIN-VMAX. www.donandmikewebsite.com. That's where you'd go and see the Morris Jones movie.
Yes.
Go to the store.
Also pictures of Rob's hair. Also pictures of Fez Watley. Uh-huh. New pictures up there.
And Stuart Copeland.
Very soon, now that we figured out that we can actually put movies, real-time movies on the website, and a very exciting behind-the-scenes tour of our dirty-ass studio.
Yes, yes, our dirty-ass studio will be online, and you won't believe it.
People should see
because
that.
Because everybody's always wanted to know what it looks like in here, I think it's going to change people's perceptions forever.
On this Morris Jones thing, you get a little glimpse, but really what we'd love to do is get a camera in here and just show you the dirt and the vermin and the germs. And
it's horrible. It's the reason why one of us gets sick, all of us get sick.
The decay.
No one is satisfied with what I tell them when they say, what's the studio like? I just say Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No one's ever satisfied with that.
And also, I think people would be interested in seeing the stuff that's been collected over the years. Like on this piece of plexiglass.
Oh, yeah, the sneeze guard.
That I keep my papers on.
Your easel there.
Somebody, let me see. Here's the stuff that's lasted the longest. Mike and I have worked here 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we put Elvis Lives, taped that to this corner of the plexiglass.
Right.
Yeah, the tape has turned yellow on that.
Also, someone sent us those little, like, bicycle license tags for California. One says Don, one says Mike.
Uh-huh.
They're still up there.
Right.
And a sticker that says 2003 supporter Special Olympics.
Special Olympics, there it is. And what's the monkey?
What does it say? It says, the filthy monkey.
Yeah.
That's all it says.
And that, is that from us or from somebody else?
That's from Weekender.
That's not from us.
I would love to also offer tours of the junk that collects in our offices, because there's a lot of great things in our offices.
Yeah, so all of that on the website.
And the samples we've collected.
And Buzz's studio as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh my God.
Buzz's little germ Petri dish that he's... A Petri dish. I said Petri like Rob Petri.
Rob Petri dish over there, but he breathes his own germs.
That's right. Yes, constantly.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Oh, when somebody started shining green lasers into the eyes of airline pilots, temporarily blinding them, we all thought terrorism.
The intruder.
But when it happened in Dallas, investigators knew right where to look for the source of the dangerous light beams.
Where?
They went straight to the gay nightclubs. At clubs like Zippers, the cheap and perfectly legal lasers were being used by gay men on the dance floor to highlight the hottest guys.
Take a look at him over there. I've got my laser pointer.
And apparently a few lasers got used outdoors as well.
It's naked karaoke night at Zippers.
I'm going to point my laser at the moon.
Dallas cops knew where to look because a gay couple recently arrested in Cleveland had explained all this. They were facing 25 years on a Patriot Act violation, and they'd already spent a night in jail.
I'm going to write my name on a cloud for pointing
their laser at a police helicopter. Gay clubs were also the source of these same lights in Colorado Springs, Nashville, and even Salt Lake City. There's your explanation.
You know, you get a perfectly good tool for a presentation in a boardroom, and look what they do to it. It's horrible. It starts out with the idiots at concerts.
Tool.
And now gay men with this perfectly useful tool.
And
tool.
And yet stupid mistakes lead to great discoveries.
Gay tools.
During all this panic about lasers, the Pentagon figured out something.
What did they figure out, Buzz?
They realized that lasers would be a good way to draw boundaries in the sky for pilots.
So NORAD, the North American Aerospace Command, has started testing the use of red and green lasers around things like the White House and the Capitol.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So what, like, our pilots will see, in essence, Christmas lights?
These are, well, no, they're beams, actually, like fences in the sky. These were no-fly zones anyway for security reasons, especially during things like inaugurations.
Christ, this is stupid.
Pilots.
I mean, don't we have a radar for this stuff?
Pilots, yeah, but it's not a way, it's slower to try to notify the pilot if you rely on radar. This notifies the pilot immediately.
You always have to be this negative.
Yeah, stop being so negative.
Listen, all you guys, step off. I'm going to acupuncture Friday, okay? I'm not kidding.
Let's hope that helps.
I hope she puts one right in the middle of my forehead. A big-ass nail.
Pilots crossing the laser line. There's an
acupuncture. Acupuncture. Acupuncture will reduce stress.
This one's going to make you feel real better.
I'll let you know. I'm going to do it on Friday.
This won't hurt a bit.
I put one right in back of your ear.
I'm a team player.
I'll do that. I put one in back of your ear, and you'll feel much better. There you go. You feel relaxed now? I put this in back of your ear. Let me try this one right in back of there.
Hi,
Pilots crossing the laser line would get a radio message guiding them back out of the no-fly zone, quoting one veteran pilot, as long as they can show it's safe.
Let's spend the money on something more worthwhile.
Well, okay.
It seems to me these are the things that are blinding people.
How about this?
Okay.
Here's something else the Pentagon's working on. Robot soldiers.
All right.
Now we're talking.
Now that I'm for that.
In less than 10 years. The project is called Future Combat Systems, and they are serious about this.
Now, would they be like Data, or would they be like...
Wait till you
hear. Like Will Smith, Will Smith, iRobot.
The $127 billion project is the biggest military contract in American history. It's more than a fourth of the Pentagon's budget for the coming year. For machines that hunt and kill and blow up targets. The Pentagon says over time, some of the robots will begin to look kind of human. That some of the tanks we have now...
I'm all for this. Me too.
That some of the tanks we have now will be turned into robots. And that some other fighting machines will look like tractors or cockroaches or hummingbirds.
Hey, what were those toys called?
Transformers.
Transformers. That's what they'll be like.
Right. I just hope they don't look like Rosie the Maid on the Jetsons.
There you are, Mr. B.
Lost in space. That's the robot I want.
The robot...
Danger.
Warning, Will Robinson. Warning.
The robot soldiers will also make decisions. So they'll have to be taught the difference between, say, an army tank and a school bus.
Hal? I think there's an insurgent, Hal.
You know, I watched
Dave
I think there's an insurgent in that building, Dave.
You know, I was gay for Star Trek The Next Generation for a while. Yeah. And a couple of weeks ago, on one of the high-def channels, they were showing Star Trek Nemesis, which is the last, and thank God, the last Star Trek Next Generation movie.
Right. That's the one with Jamie Farr, right?
That's right, Mike.
It's the last one.
Never mind.
Never mind. You know what they...
Jamie Farr is the commander.
You know what they should do? They should get the Pentagon together with Disney. Because how great would it be if we had a whole bunch of robots that looked like Abe Lincoln?
Presidents.
That would be great.
The thing is, if I could make my serious point without your joke.
I'm sorry.
Which was funny. I gave you the joke.
But I know you have to get this off your chest.
It always has bothered me that Data is an android.
Right.
Yet in this movie, especially in this one, Nemesis, he looks old.
Wrinkles.
Yes, he is looking more like... What's his name? Brent Spiner?
Brent Spiner.
More like Brent Spiner
because
than Data.
Because Brent Spiner is old.
And, that reminds me. I know that you guys have seen the movie Trekkies.
Yes.
That's hosted by, Denise Crosby.
Right.
There's Trekkies 2,
yes,
which is out now, which shows people in Europe acting retarded
and
about
Brazil,
Star Trek.
Other countries.
That's a good sequel.
Yeah, it's good. Check it out. It's on Showtime, I think.
Well, new technology, of course, means new problems like...
And Buzz?
Yes.
Data. Excuse me. Data is a robot.
Yeah.
That's an android. What made me think of the robots that are going to be going to war.
An android with wrinkles.
Yes. And exactly, because new technology means new problems. Like
Jamie Farr. I don't get that joke, Mike. Jamie Farr was on MASH.
Don't worry about it. Just let it go.
Like all the money California's losing on gasoline taxes because so many more people are driving hybrid or electric cars. So California, Oregon, and other states are thinking about taxing drivers by the mile
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
To pay for the roads and bridges they all use. Oh, my God. California's all spread out. People drive a lot of miles there. See? Yeah, and
hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And tax the people that drive the furthest,
right,
because they're the ones that make the least money because they live far away.
Even and perhaps especially if they're in hybrid cars.
CBS News found a college student.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
College student spent more a month on gasoline than he was spending on his car payment. So he got a hybrid and started saving $300 a month.
That's all bunk.
He's not looking forward to giving up any of that savings for a by-the-mile tax.
Those hybrid cars, that's nonsense. That
that's a fad,
work.
Isn't it, Rob?
It's all nonsense.
So this young man is lying.
Yes, of course.
I see. Okay.
You're against anything that doesn't take regular and have eight cylinders,
you know,
right?
What? I still use leaded gas.
Step off, Rush.
How foolish of me to believe him.
In the big cities, the problem is congestion, and San Francisco thinks a tax on that might be an answer. The city's thinking about charging a toll in San Francisco. For people who drive into the crowded downtown area, regular users would buy a daily pass into downtown. City officials hope the toll will reduce congestion, pollution, and increase the amount of money the city has to pay its bills. Quoting one official, if we're ever going to get traffic to move, we have to get those cars out of there. That's how they get you, coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
But the people of Alaska clearly have a different way of handling stress. I'll tell you how when we come back.
You are clever tease, Buzz. And we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How could you possibly be a witness for Michael Jackson? I mean, unless it's like a touch thing. A touch or smell thing.
Well, maybe.
Not an eyewitness.
That's where I was going. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A new study by a government office on substance abuse shows that Alaska is by far the substance abusinest state in the union. Of Alaskans age 12 or over, 12% did illegal drugs last month. But even at number one, Alaska's Natalonska. Also at or above 10%, Colorado, Montana, Nevada, New
Rocky
Mexico, Oregon, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington State, and yes,
do you know,
Washington, D.C.
What's weird, though, is most of those in the top 10 sound like they're out in the big sky country.
Nothing
where,
else to do.
You know, where the living is free and the air is...
Weeds grow wild.
Yeah.
Let's
get a high.
This same agency also deals with mental health and keeps track of those statistics, too. The state with the most mentally ill people last year was...
Virginia.
Rhode Island, 11%. More than 1 out of 10 people in Rhode Island, nuts.
Really?
Yeah. The state with the second most...
Hello, 92 Pro FM. Would you play some disco? I'd love to play some disco for you.
The state with the second most...
Wait, here's the other one. 92 Pro FM. Claymore Kia. Claymore Kia. Claymore Kia.
Kia.
Means play more kiss, and play more ditto means play more disco. That's from Providence, Rhode Island.
Now, the state with the second most mental illness, Utah, which, by the way, had the fewest cases of illegal drug use. In sports, NBC says it would like to have NFL football again, but still isn't willing to pay the crazy money being spent by the other networks.
Yeah, because that move has really worked out for NBC, losing the NFL. They've shown everybody, haven't they?
NBC has slipped from first place to fourth in the ratings.
Yeah, and meanwhile, CBS, which, pardon my French, is still running the same garbage shows as they did when Angela Lansbury was the star of the network. All of a sudden now, they're hot and they're happening.
Yeah, it's because of football. And as you've heard, no doubt by now, the hockey season's been canceled. NHL Commissioner Gary B. Bettman says the league was unable to work out its differences with the players.
Well, Gary,
I just didn't feel that we could put a product out there consistent with quality.
I understand, Joe Auden. You got some calls today with people who didn't appreciate the beginning of the show.
Well, I'm sorry, and please accept my apologies. Signed, sincerely,
Gary B. Bettman.
This is the first time a major North American sports league has scrapped an entire season. And finally,
they wanted 6 points. We gave them 3 of the 6 bullet points.
I can't believe it, but it's done. Forget it.
How much for each franchise?
$6 million.
Per team?
For a good night's sleep, there's nothing quite like a warm glass
Ambien.
Of milk. No, a warm glass of milk from Liechtenstein. Especially since the cows there have been eating a lot of marijuana.
Oh.
And the government says of that small country in the Alpine Mountains, it says that some of the THC from those hemp plants is making its way into the milk.
Joe.
Which, of course, just makes you want more cookies.
Joe.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yeah. That's it. We got to go. Please be staying tuned for Ron and Fez. Coming up next on WJFK. But the manager of the Nationals doesn't have a show yet on this station.
He will soon.
That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. And you.
I would like you to lick my BBA.
Not a chance.
Well, I wasn't speaking to you in particular.
Put your seatbelt on, Michael.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.